93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is August 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a junkyard fire suspended rail service in Philadelphia Sunday evening. It happened at 7 o'clock near the intersection of Torresdale and Adams Ave in Frankfurt. The sound of transformers exploding filled the air as fire ripped through the warehouse.
What transformer?
Thick black smoke could be seen for miles, hours after the stubborn fire began. The flames grew so intense as they inched close to high-tension power lines. The heart of the fire fell right next to rail lines, and late Sunday, officials from both SEPTA and Amtrak were inspecting the tracks. SEPTA suspended the Trenton and West Chestnut Hill West regional rail lines for some time on Sunday night. Amtrak also suspended all service traveling through Philadelphia as firefighters continued to battle the blaze.
A lot of valuable junk, I assume, was lost in the fire.
The outside of 30th Street Station was packed with people waiting for Uber and Lyft drivers to pick them up after word that the suspended lines got out. There was no reported injuries from the fire, and the cause is unknown at this time. IndyCar driver Robert Wickens is being treated for injuries to his lower extremities, right arm, and spine following an accident early in a race at Pocono. IndyCar said that the Canadian sustained a pulmonary contusion Sunday and will undergo an MRI and probable surgery at Lehigh Valley Hospital, Cedar Crest in Allentown. The 29-year-old IndyCar rookie was attempting to pass Ryan Hunter Ray when the two cars slightly touched. That caused Hunter Ray's car to careen into a wall, and Wickens' car was pulled along for the ride. Once Wickens' car soared over Hunter Ray and hit the fence, it spun around and around. The fencing was shredded, and Wickens' car was reduced to just the tub, which came to a rest on the track along an interior wall.
That shattered, man.
It was heavy duty.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Medical workers calmly attended to Wickens, who was taken to an ambulance before he was transported to a helicopter. The impact of the wreck tore out a large section of fencing, which delayed the race nearly 2 hours as crews had to repair it. Alexander Rossi won the race, but he said it was tough to celebrate with Wickens in the hospital. In 2015 at Pocono, Justin Wilson died from a head injury when a piece of debris from a crashed car bounced off of the track and hit his helmet.
It's a spectacular crash. Did you say, Preston, someone was hurt?
I thought someone in the stands got clipped, but I may have been wrong about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're watching the video footage of it now.
There were a number of other injuries in this whole wreck. I'm not sure if somebody in the stands was hurt, but yeah, there was a number of people who had to get checked out because of it.
It's just amazing.
It is. And when I first became aware of the crash, it started to trend on Twitter. And
yeah.
So I started reading about it, and people were up in arms. Obviously, the crash was terrible, but like Andretti apparently started like placing the blame immediately on somebody, and people were so pissed at him. They were saying like whatever he had said was like super classless. I'm like,
forget the blame and just make sure, before you start blaming, make sure the guy's all
okay.
Right.
That's what I think people were saying.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. We're watching it right now.
Mm-hmm.
A 14-year-old boy is fighting for his life after a double shooting near Temple University. That happened at 12:30 overnight on the 2100 block of North Park Avenue in North Philadelphia. Police say more than 20 shots were fired by at least two shooters. A 25-year-old man was shot multiple times in his lower torso. He's in critical condition at Temple University Hospital, and police think that he was likely the intended target. The 14-year-old boy was hit twice, once in the face and once in the neck. He was rushed to St. Christopher's Hospital for children in extremely critical condition. Police say a bike was found near the scene, and they say the boy does not live in the neighborhood. Police say the boy is undergoing surgery, and they do not know if he is going to survive. Police did find several properties with private surveillance cameras in the area, and they are asking residents for the footage. Police were not able to get a suspect description of the two shooters from witnesses. In sports this morning...
Sacks are yummy.
The Phillies lost to the Mets 8-2 last night at the Little League Classic in Williamsport. Amed Rosario had three hits and drove in three runs, and Jeff McNeil added a two-run single as the Mets won the second Little League Classic. Carlos Santana hit a two-run home run for the Phillies, but Nick Pivetta gave up six runs in 3 2/3 innings in the Phillies' seventh loss in 11 games. Despite the loss, the Phillies are still only a half a game behind the Braves for first place in the National League East. The Phillies are off today before opening up a series in Washington tomorrow night against the Nationals. The Union beat New York City 2-0 on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Behind goals from Corey Burke and El Seno, including the U.S. Open Cup semifinal win over the Chicago Fire. The Union now have won 3 matches in a row and have climbed up to 5th place in the Eastern Conference. They next face New England Revolution at Talon Energy Stadium on Saturday. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz began 11-on-11 teamwork at practice yesterday. Wentz was given the green light after meeting with the team's medical staff and head coach Doug Peterson. The Birds resumed their preseason with a game on Thursday night in Cleveland against the Browns, and those Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Hey!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Actually, you missed the best sports story of the weekend, Kathy, and that was the strike that nun threw at Red Sox game.
That was awesome.
Did you guys happen to see that?
I loved it. She did the ball bounce on her bicep.
I missed it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was so good. And then she fired it in.
I mean, she threw a heater in, Nick. It was hilarious.
You got to see the video.
She bounced the ball off her bicep, and, like, she didn't stop. Like, hesitate. She bounced it, picked it up, bam, boom, and just ripped it right in through for a strike. It was hilarious. It was my favorite thing over the weekend, actually. Kathy and I were watching it again this morning. Well, welcome to Monday, dear friends, and hopefully you had an enjoyable weekend. We have a decent week planned. Weather's looking halfway decent, as I said. Well, we might get a little bit of rain tomorrow on Wednesday, but temperatures are more comfortable, a little less humidity. It's going to be cool. New Word of the Week prize this week. We have an experience for you. It's a 2-hour axe throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe throwing venue, Chopper's Hatchet House. That's in Cherry Hill. So we will give that away. We'll do the letters of the day for the Word of the Week prize giveaway on Friday. We also have a little soiree taking place on Thursday. Kathy's Bitch Box Party.
Whoa.
Part 2
yes.
is happening on Thursday.
And I spent hours at Elsie Boutique on Friday going over all the stuff for the fashion show that's going to happen.
We're going to have an actual fashion show.
It's going to be cool.
We went from a dream of a sorority to a sorority with a fashion show.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, the quick peek video of what's in the box. It's pretty. I couldn't even tell what was in it, but it looks pretty cool. I have not looked at any of the. I want to see the night of. I want to have the big reveal.
There's a little sneak peek video.
Yeah, we like the box lid.
It just
up,
opens and closes.
Quick thing, and I'm trying to figure out what's
you
in there.
See.
I thought there was a car.
We'll find out Thursday. We're going to be at Harrah's in Philadelphia, and I will tell you when to call in order to win passes to this. It is an invitation only event, so get yourself set to win those tickets a little bit later on, and we'll get you details on our next stop with the MM Army and the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion trip to England that we will be giving away. So details coming up on that. Charity event tonight. It's Dining Out for the Dogs, taking place at several different locations of the White Dog Cafe. It will be it starts at 5:00, and proceeds are going to benefit Alpha Bravo Canine. So we'll get more details on that later on as we have a guest popping in to talk about that. But that is this evening, so hopefully you'll be able to help out. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll get into the entertainment report, a stupid question. I have loads of stories to run by you, so we'll get that rolling in just a moment. Back in a moment.
And Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Steve, did you see the latest Daily Rush of us talking about meeting Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah. No. I did. Yeah.
I just saw this. Hey,
we do good chimpanzees, I have to say.
This liner that the video is up yet says, two Neanderthals meet the perfect human. And, yeah, that was fun. I watched that over the weekend. It's now available at PrestonSteve.com. It's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. If you'd like to check that out, feel free to do so. I'm going to do a stupid question, and where the hell is it? Here it is. All right, we're going to give away a pair of tickets as Live Nation presents the talented Tom Segura. And it is going to be 3 shows, Miriam Theater, November 16th, 17th, and 10 p.m. show on the 17th was just added. So the question that I have for you this morning, I did not know this. The world record for the most F-bombs used in a movie is what film? 215263 WMMR. Yeah,
that's interesting. I was wondering if it's still what it used to be.
I don't think so.
Okay.
The world record for the most F bombs used in a movie goes to what film? What?
No. Yeah, it makes
sense. You know the answer?
Well, it used to be something else.
All right, 215-263-WMMR.
It was Dennis the Menace.
Casey just looked at the answer, so he concurs. We'll go to some birthdays while we're waiting for you to call in. Today is Monday, August 20th. The lovely Amy Adams has her birthday today.
Yes.
She's 44 years old.
What's going on with her?
I don't know.
Well, she was Lois Lane.
She has a show on HBO that I haven't watched. My brother was telling me about it last night.
Is it any good?
Yes.
He said it was great.
Is she an alcoholic in that?
Sharp Objects is what it's called. I don't know. Right. I haven't watched it, but
she's
I heard
a writer
it was
or
really
something.
Well done.
Yeah, I've heard rumblings of it.
She's tasked to go back to her hometown to cover some sort of story.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
She used to be a Hooters girl.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. I've seen pictures of her in the Hooters outfit. Very, very beautiful. Very talented actress. Natural redhead. What?
Let me ask you guys a question. Mm-hmm. In, was it Batman v Superman?
Yes.
I think, did you think that there was going to be a possibility that they were going to show her nips when she was in the bathtub? Because they came so close to showing... Like,
honestly, it didn't cross my mind. No,
I'm like, they're not going to.
They showed it was all Bush. That was the promise.
Yeah, Fire Bush.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman, and then in parentheses, Fire Bush.
I can see her bush. Tell me something. Do you bleed? And can I see your girlfriend's bush?
Just once a
month. Oh, my God.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they cut that out.
Horrible.
That's a reason. They stopped with the tell me, do you bleed?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Lovely actress. And
she's got a show on HBO.
You know,
she was a Hooters girl.
You know what movie I was really hoping big things for and just did not like at all was the one where she's a linguist and the aliens come.
Arrival.
Yeah. I agree.
And I was hoping
they went nuts over. I thought it was inventive and engaging.
It bored me.
But if you remember the critics raved on it like, well, here we go.
Yeah. Yep. She's 44 today. Andrew Garfield. Thinking about the bush. Andrew Garfield, Amazing Spider-Man. Social Network. He is 35 today.
He was too much of a dreamy slacker boy as Peter Parker. He was too cool. Peter Parker's a little awkward.
They already did it.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see it again. That was my issue. It was too soon. Maybe another 10 years down the road or something like that where they need to... The first movies were fine.
I'm happy where they are right now, though.
Tom Holland?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. In fact, Stan Lee says that's exactly the way he perceived Peter Parker.
Andrew Garfield, 35. Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit lead singer, now director.
Yes.
And having a lot of success with that. He's 48 today.
Matt Cord was playing an interview he did years ago. I think it's maybe a Y100 or...
Yeah.
It's one of the most contentious interviews with Durst.
Really?
Durst was on the phone saying, I effed your mom last night. Yeah. I guess he didn't like the line of questioning that Matt was doing. And
Matt wasn't being overly provocative.
I don't think he was.
No.
But
knowing Matt, he probably did, bring up the fact that, hey, not everybody likes you. We want to talk about that, which can go in a civil way, and then some people might not
tell you the right way.
Matt, yeah. But I don't know. I haven't heard the interview. Joan Allen, she's been in movies like Pleasantville and Nixon and The Ice Storm, and she's 62. She was the mom in Pleasantville.
Solid actress.
Yeah. Al Roker.
Solid actress.
Today weatherman. Oh, that's right. He crapped his pants at the White House.
At the White House.
Yeah. He's 64. Connie Chung, news anchor, wife of Maury Povich.
Still going strong, her and Maury Povich.
Yeah.
Who would figure?
She's 72 years old today. And then I saved a biggie for last. And it's a big birthday for him. Robert Plant turns 70 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah, so big birthday for him. And he's
Mama said the way you move.
Not really doing the Zeppelin thing anymore. He doesn't really do any... Well, on occasion, he will do a song or two. But he's more on the countryside of things. It's what he loves to do.
He's in the country now, yeah. We see, looking at a picture of him, he looks like Aquaman's father.
Yeah. There are occasions where he looks like the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, he does.
If you catch him in the right light.
Is his hair cut now? Is this really... I don't know.
Not sure how current this photo is of him, but he does have shorter hair, it looks like, in this particular picture. And is the Sensational Soul Shifters or the...
He kind of does whatever
Soul Cruisers,
he wants.
They're local. Anyway.
He just kind of tours and does whatever he wants. He was touring with Alison Krauss, I think, for a stretch. As you mentioned, Preston, folks or country stuff, but he also does folk music as well, and... He doesn't have to do Zeppelin. Billions of people would want him to, but he just kind of goes where he wants to go.
You know, I was talking to Pierre because Pierre's met him face-to-face, and they had an interview. Talk about interviews getting a little contentious. It did happen at some point when he talked about Jason Bonham and Robert didn't really care for that.
No, I was there for that. I was working for Pierre at the time, and Plant was just kind of a dick throughout the entire interview.
Yeah.
And so Pierre was asking him what I thought were... civil questions. I mean, you're talking about Matt Cord, and in a way of, can we talk about Zeppelin without talking about Zeppelin, which Pierre is very good at doing, and Plant just shut it down and shut it down and shut it down.
One of the things I was talking to Pierre about, there was a chapter in Plant's career that I really loved, which was post Zeppelin and songs like Big Log and In the Mood and Burning Down One Side. There's several of them that are great. And Little by Little.
Yes.
But he said that Robert looks back and does not like that period of music that he created. It's my favorite. I loved it.
You know what?
I liked it better. This is sacrilege, but I personally liked it better than Zeppelin when it came out.
There's a lot of great stuff in that. Yeah. You know, the critics, when the original Zeppelin stuff started to roll out, the critics were savaging it. They hated it. And then they revisited Zeppelin fairly quickly. And realize what it was.
One of the most legendary chapters of rock history came from Led Zeppelin. So Robert Plant celebrating his 70th birthday today. I'm not sure if Pierre's back in today or not.
I think he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
If so, he will spend some time with the great Robert Plant today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The world record for the most F-bombs used in the movie goes to what film? 215-263-WMMR. We will try Brandon out. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Gadzooks. Brendan, do me a favor. Tell me what movie has the world record for the most F-bombs.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow. Yeah. Thought it had been Scarface.
It was.
Hang on a second, Brendan. We're going to set you up, man. We had a pair of tickets. Live Nation presents the talented Tom Segura, the hilarious comedian with the new Netflix special, Mostly Stories. Tom brings three shows to the Merriam Theater on November 16th, 17th, with a 10 p.m. show on the 17th. Just added. Get tickets at KimmelCenter.org or at the Kimmel Center box office as well. But, yeah, I believe it was Scarface before that.
And that's where they got the Blink-182 because there was 182 F-bombs.
Yeah.
Exactly. I still haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street. I got to see that at some point. All right, let's see if we can get an answer. Or not an answer. We already did that. Let's see what happened at the box office over the weekend. Number one was Crazy Rich Asians.
I think I want to see this.
Made $25.2 million. I'm not familiar at all.
It's a the full cast is Asian, and it's sort of a rom-com.
Okay.
And apparently in the Asian community, it's resonating, but it's one of those things that transcends and that everyone sort of can find something in it that they attach to.
It did very well, followed by The Meg, which fell to second, Mile 22, Alpha, which tied with Mission Impossible at number four. Then you had Christopher Robin, Black Klansman, Slender Man was seventh, followed by Hotel Transylvania, and Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Oh, and... just as a note, Kevin Spacey's latest film, Billionaire Boys Club, made $126.
$126?
It opened in 10 theaters, and it sold less than two tickets in each theater that it opened in. They probably showed it times that nobody really was going to see
just
movies.
To sort of burn it off.
But Ansel Elgort and Taron Egerton were in the movie, and I feel bad for them.
Listen,
those
guys. That's more than $100.
Yeah, those guys got paid, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Did the movie get reviewed well?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Do not know.
I think it's critic proof.
Billionaires Boy Club, so it didn't do too well. All right, in the entertainment news, Aretha Franklin's funeral arrangements have been revealed. The Queen of Soul is going to be honored with a four-date celebration of life, which will include multiple events and performances. She'll be laid to rest at Detroit's Woodlawn Cemetery following her August 31st funeral service at Greater Grace Temple. The funeral will follow an open casket public viewing on August 28th and 29th at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, where her body will lie in state. The viewing will be held from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on both days. The funeral itself will be limited to family members, friends, and selected guests. Organizers are said to be working on a musical tribute with major recording artists, but the venue has not been confirmed as yet. So obviously, and especially in Detroit, it's going to be a big, big to-do.
Believe it or not, MTV of all networks is putting together a collection of Aretha Franklin performances at various MTV award shows and things of that nature. So,
Wow.
It's going to be some interesting stuff coming up.
In other news, Fox News dropped the ball after using a photo of Patti LaBelle instead of Aretha Franklin.
Wait, who did this?
Fox News.
Oh, my God.
When paying tribute to the late singer.
Oh my gosh.
The network featured a graphic of Franklin with a performance photo of Patti LaBelle in the background.
Oh, jeez.
They have apologized for the error, of course. So that was a bit of a slip-up. Ben Affleck was spotted out and about with Playboy model Shauna Sexton.
Uh-huh.
As rumors of a breakup with girlfriend Lindsay Shookus swirl.
Shookus?
Yes.
Was nowhere to be seen.
No, but Shauna Sexton was.
It's clear. Clear as day what he's doing. He's working his way back around to Jennifer Garner.
Uh-huh. Oh. Yes.
By the way, this Playboy model... exactly what you would expect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just stunning.
Yeah, I looked her up. All I could find was kind of arty Playboy pictures. I was really hoping for some good beaver shots, but I didn't stumble across those. So.
Nice. Do you bleed? Once a month.
Adding fuel to the rampant fire speculation, Shookus deleted her Instagram account.
Shookus!
She was also not present for his 46th birthday celebration the previous evening.
Do you know, the funny thing is that the picture of them coming out of the restaurant, he's sort of like in blue jeans and, you know, he's sort of casual Fleck.
Yeah.
And here's a picture. She's done up to the nines.
Yeah, Steve, she was wearing what they call, he was wearing a dark jeans, a green T-shirt, and navy jacket, and she was wearing a nude bodycon dress.
Oh.
Just means it was tight.
Yeah, body contour.
Yeah.
He's wearing... But
nude is the color.
And he's smoking a cigarette.
Yes.
Come on, Ben.
Yeah, he and Matt Damon were big time smokers. I don't know if Matt still smokes or not, but back in the day...
Do you smoke?
An insider tells the E! News that Affleck feels that it's over with...
Shookus?
With Shookus, yeah.
I thought they were like house hunting together.
As one of the most famous stars in the world, Affleck's love life has long been the subject of fascination. He famously split from Jennifer Garner after 10 years of marriage in 2015, officially went public with Saturday Night Live producer Shookus in July of last year, though their relationship was reportedly had started previously.
So. Have you seen the trailers for Jennifer Garner's new film? I think it's called Peppermint or something like that?
No, what's it about?
And she's basically like, it's a revenge movie where she is a badass.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that. The characters, Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves, played in 1992's Bram Stoker's Dracula, got married, but the stars may have unwittingly tied the knot as well. And if so, they're still married. So Reeves and Ryder played Mina and Jonathan Harker in the classic flick. And she told Entertainment Weekly, "We actually got married in Dracula." She said, "No, I swear to God, I think we're married in real life." In that scene, Francis Ford Coppola, used a real Romanian priest. We shot the master, and he did the whole thing. So I think we're married.
Did they use their real names? That's the question.
Exactly.
I don't know. Reeves took it in stride, joking to Ryder that it was lovely to see her again. The pair have reunited for a rom-com called Destination Wedding, which is out August 31st. I haven't seen anything about that.
No, I have not seen Destination Wedding. Oh. However, did you ever see the Coppola version of Dracula?
Sure.
It's a great movie.
Long time ago. It's been ages since
I've
seen
it. Love it. Yeah. They use a lot of old-style cinematic effects in it. You know, like just different things that they've done throughout the years in cinema to create this sort of really fantastical perception of Dracula's castle and all the stuff that goes on, and it's really something worth seeing.
All right, more importantly, when's John Wick 3 come out?
That's got to be another 6 months, 8 months, maybe even a full year.
If it's within a year, I'm cool with that.
This is a bizarre story. Italian actress Aja Argento, one of the most prominent activists in the Me Too movement, who has accused Harvey Weinstein of raping her, recently settled a sexual assault complaint against her by a young actor.
This blew my mind when I saw this.
A guy named Jimmy Bennett, who is 22, filed an intent to sue shortly after Argento said last October that Weinstein raped her. Bennett said that Argento sexually assaulted him in 2013. He was 17. She was 37. The age of consent in California, where the alleged incident took place, is 18. The two had starred together in a 2004 film in which Argento played Bennett's mother. According to The Times, which said it received court documents that included a selfie of the two in bed, Argento settled with Bennett for $380,000. I don't know the details of it other than that, but I wonder if it's just the age thing or if she did it against his will. That I don't know.
There are photographs that show them sort of smiling in bed, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the story is, but she is at the forefront, as you said, of the Me Too movement. So to have this come out is certainly eye-opening.
Yeah, she paid. So, I'm curious as to if it was some sort of extortion, or I have no idea. Miss America, Kara Mund, is accusing the Miss America organization of bullying and silencing her. The irony of the accusation hasn't escaped her or anyone else. In the past year, the Miss America organization has scrambled to give its image a facelift after a series of scandals in which its leaders were ousted for slut and fat-shaming contestants. The organization put Gretchen Carlson, a former Miss America herself, in place to help lead the organization forward, and swimsuit competitions were banned. But the same issues are still in play, according to Mund. In a five-page letter, Mund, Miss America 2018, specifically called out Miss America CEO Regina Hopper and Chair Gretchen Carlson for having, quote, silenced me, reduced me, marginalized me, and essentially erased me in my role as Miss America.
Those are all bad things.
In subtle and not so subtle ways on a daily basis. Mund vented her frustrations at being deemed, quote, not important enough for big interviews, which was reserved for Carlson. She was also told that she was to blame for sponsors dropping the pageant. Mund gave examples of her behavior that many observers linked to that of the notorious Mean Girls film, also depicting nasty Gretchen and Regina characters.
Does Gretchen Carlson have a burn book?
Claiming that they knowingly mispronounced her name and lied about her. Mund wrote, "Let me be blunt. I strongly believe that my voice is not heard nor wanted by our current leadership, nor do they have any interest in knowing who I am and how my experiences relate to positioning the organization for the future. I truly felt more valued, respected, and viewed as a real collaborator within my first 3 months rather than these last 8 months. The differences in treatment are stark."
This is a sort of a PR nightmare for the pageant.
Yeah.
They go through this whole thing where we're going to make it better now. And here she is. She's the current Miss America, and she's complaining like this.
In a statement, the organization said, "It is disappointing that she chose to air her grievances publicly, not privately. Her letter contains
She's always been a bitch.
Mischaracterizations.
That bitch.
And many unfounded accusations.
I just knew she was a dumb bitch.
We are reaching out to her privately to address her concerns. The Miss America organization supports Kara," they said. Catfight, man.
You know, we've always known, and people that we've talked to have been through the pageant system. Yes, there's cattiness and backstabbing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you go through a whole thing where we're going to get our act together and then you have this coming out, mm-hmm. it doesn't portend good things.
The crew of Guardians of the Galaxy has come out swinging for director James Gunn after Disney ousted him for decade-old tweets that he sent out making light of pedophilia and rape. Dave Bautista has been one of Gunn's most vocal defenders, and the WWE wrestler turned actor thanked the company in a tweet that likened Disney to Donald Trump. He wrote, "Thanks, Disney, making America great again." He wrote alongside an article on the subject. Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana have also rallied to Gunn's side, but Disney has said repeatedly that it will stand by its decision, so they're not budging at all.
They did have a meeting with Gunn, apparently, and who was not? Somebody was not there who should have been there, but anyway.
The actors did, Steve? Or Disney did?
Disney did.
Oh, okay.
And that's my understanding, and they're staying steadfast with this, though there has been a pretty large writing campaign, which leads some people who speculate on these things to say that Disney may have other things that could appear very inflammatory.
So there was somebody not there that should have been there?
I forget how it
was
played
that
out.
That person David Hasselhoff?
It might have been David Hasselhoff, okay. As we know, a big Guardian supporter.
Actually, he was in the second one.
Was
you're
he?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, remember, because his father figure.
Yeah.
He's David Hasselhoff. And they find a way to
so
briefly make him appear.
That's right.
It's all coming together, guys.
Yes, oh, my God.
Our jokes become reality.
Okay, here you go. Meghan Markle's father, Thomas.
Oh, boy. Here we go. This is a good guy. One.
Listen to what he says this time. So he's talking to the press again. The 74-year-old described the royal family as, quote, cult-like to the son. He said they are either like Scientologists or the Stepford family. He said they're cult-like, like Scientology, because they are secretive.
Do me a favor. Send in James Bond. I have a mission for him.
He said they close the door, they pull the shades down, and they
I want you to eradicate this fat F with extreme prejudice.
And they put their fingers in their ears so they don't have to hear.
Apparently, the phrasing was eye-rolling the Queen when the name of Thomas Markle comes
up. Sure.
Like, what can we do with this bastard?
Exactly, yeah.
He's honestly, if you have any love for your daughter, let it go. It's her time. It's her time up here.
I want to hear what the backstory is on the relationship of the daughter before all of this, before all of the royal family came into play, because it seems like they may not have had the closest of relationships.
Probably not.
Heather Locklear returned to social media on Saturday night for the first time in 4 months amid the legal and personal struggles that she has been facing in the past year, including trips to rehab and multiple arrests.
Is she sober? Do you know?
Not at this point.
Case, there's very little that was pointed. It just says sunshining day, and it was a picture of her dog wearing sunglasses.
Said she thinks she'll go out for a walk outside.
Yeah. Summer sun's calling her name. She
can't sleep inside all day,
she
right?
She is next scheduled to appear in court on August 30th. Now, she may be on the path to recovery. She may be working on it, and this might be a step of... coming out and finally addressing the public a little bit.
A lot of times people... Yeah, there you go. There it is. Imagine her with her hair all frizzed out.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The sun's calling my name.
A big mistake is that people think, I've had enough rehab now. I'm good. I've had enough, AA or whatever, and they cut it short. You need to just spend time working on yourself.
Well, it's just a social media post.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's.
I think when they just kind of want you to lay low, right?
I don't know. Who knows? Do whatever you want.
No social media after
whatever
rehab.
You do.
It's all very right. Nurturing.
This is cool. The Watchmen. There's going to be a TV series on HBO in 2019. While fans have gotten teases of an upcoming show, HBO finally officially announced this past Friday that it's ordered a full series of Watchmen, which is based on the DC comic books written by Alan Moore with art by Dave Gibbons. HBO shared a teaser image as well as the full cast list, and it includes some big names like Jeremy Irons, Don Johnson, Regina King, Louis Gossett Jr. I was really excited to see.
That's
when is
pretty
the
cool.
Last time you saw Louis Gossett Jr. in anything? Tim Blake Nelson, there's a lot of names. Several I don't know. But anyhow, fans already suspected the popular comic book series about troubled superheroes was getting its own TV series after Watchmen showrunner Damon Lindelof shared an image on Instagram in 2017 titled Day One, and it showed an up-close of the trophy marked with the words Ingratitude, which was presented to the original superhero Night Owl in the comic book. I read a little bit more into it, Steve, and they are not going to follow the comics at all, which is a good thing. They want to do an original story.
And I'm cool with that. Yeah. In fact, Lindelof is describing it as a mix, like a cocktail that features one of the ingredients is the Watchmen history.
Okay, yes. So it will live in that universe.
Yes.
Right? Universe.
Universe. Like Jacass.
Yeah. But it's not gonna be that story. It's basically gonna be superheroes that are
The Watchmen.
No, that are that are illegal. You know, yes. They're vigilantes.
They're vigilantes.
The law is against them, okay. And but it will not cover the whole story with Ozymandias and that you saw in the movie
but
and everything.
But that did happen in that universe.
Not in this universe.
Not in that.
It's not a sequel. It's not a prequel.
It's
an alternate timeline. It's an alternate story altogether. Which would be cool because I love The Watchmen, man. It's one of my favorites, and the book was amazing.
Zack Snyder did a phenomenal job. It is a great movie,
yep.
Especially the extended cut if you ever get a chance to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are fully shacking up. Kylie has scored her first Vogue cover.
Ooh!
And inside Australia's September issue. She dished on her love, life, and motherhood, and it helped that Kendall was asking the questions.
Ooh, Kendall was interviewing her. This is only Vogue Australia?
I believe. It says...
that's nothing.
Inside Australia, September issue, so I guess so. That's nothing?
Well, this is Kylie on the cover.
It says Vogue Australia. Yeah, Kylie Jenner is being interviewed by Kendall Jenner.
I got confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Noting rumors to the contrary on social media about living with Travis, Kylie tells Kendall, I'm actually scrolling through Instagram right now.
Oh my God.
And it says that me and Travis don't live together. And so I just, what do you mean it says? Instagram, it, she says, it says, no, the people are saying that.
Yes.
So whatever, man. So anyhow, she says, and so I just want to say that we never miss a night with each other. And go back and forth from my Calabasas house and the city home that we actually got together.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So one of their houses they share together.
Okay. Are they taking the Rolls Royce he gifted her with for her birthday?
I don't know. So how's life in the fast lane changed for Kylie Cosmetics mogul since welcoming Stormy on February 1st? She said, I don't think my life has changed since becoming a mom. I think the way I look at life has changed since becoming a mom.
I know it's
the way she looks
at
life.
Very taxing for the nannies, but for me, I'm doing very well.
She said, I think more of the future. I used to live each day as it came, and now I look at the future. I actually feel like I love myself more after I had Stormy.
I'm bored.
And
is it possible to love yourself more?
She said, I'm trying to be, I mean, I'm already a positive person, but just having fun being positive.
Preston, where can we get that magazine?
It's in Australia. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, guys.
Online.
I'm going to Australia. You want me to pick up a magazine
please
while
do,
I'm
yeah
out there? All right.
We can share one.
And some Vegemite.
You don't want your own?
No.
You can't have mine.
Like maybe borrow it?
No.
Now, Kylie has praise for Travis as a father. She tells Kendall, we both experienced this for the first time, so I love learning together and just watching him with her. He's so good with her, and she really obsesses with him.
She says like 7 times out of 10, he can recognize her.
Oh, wow. Now, she also dished on launching an almost $1 billion business via Kylie Cosmetics. She said, my lip kits started with, number one, my obsession with makeup and lips specifically.
Ah.
And just how I took my insecurity with my lips.
And had surgery.
And turned it into my business model.
All I had to do was inject raw wood pulp into my lips.
Something I just became obsessed with was lips and lipstick. And how wearing lipstick made me feel. I just love bigger lips.
That's like, yeah.
And I just got obsessed, she says.
It's just ridiculous mm-hmm. that the whole... Now, mind you, you cannot argue with success. She's a billionaire.
Yeah, but she...
But the whole initial thing was predicated on a lip-augmenting cosmetics
yeah.
that had nothing to do with the way her lips looked.
No, mm-hmm. In fact, her God-given lips are... pencil thin.
Do you yeah. know that?
Like
buy?
She had no upper lip.
I was
fine.
I would buy a breast product marketed by Norma Stitz because that's natural.
Now, on setting an example for Stormy, she said, "I feel like having a daughter and thinking about beauty in the future.
Oh my God,
has definitely changed me, and I feel like it has made me love myself more and accept everything about me.
I just love me.
Listen to this. She goes, even my ears.
I love my ears. I just
what?
Love. Look at
what?
These. Look at
self-obsessed people.
Look at those. Do you see those?
Wait,
they're beautiful.
Someone, nothing. Get me a picture of her ears.
The truth of the matter is, she does not resemble her own family photos. She looks like...
Over the weekend, I saw a, like, when she was young and now, and it's just...
You cannot see any genetic... lineage between the woman she is now
listen
and what she was 5 years ago.
Wait,
and it's not puberty that did that.
Even her ears. Look at them. They look like ears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, so her ear team takes a lot of pride in that.
Well, listen to this. She says, even my ears, I always felt like they stuck out too far.
Okay.
And Stormy has the same ears as me, and so now I love my ears.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
Or I hate my daughter's ears.
Right. She said, it's just having a different outlook on life so I can pass that on to her.
She just bought Fisher-Price breast implants for Stormy.
She says, I want to be an example for her. What kind of example would I be if she said that she didn't like her ears and then I didn't like them either?
Is this happening?
Do you know what's happening?
Minus all of the, we can say everything we want. She's about to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
She said, I just want to teach that to her. I'm trying to love myself more.
Go ahead. Here's a vibrator. Have at it.
Because, I mean, what she's saying now is, all right, if you don't like your ears, it's fine. You can have them fixed. Right? Well, because I didn't like my lips.
She was very self-conscious about her lips. Mm-hmm. She recently, supposedly, had the lip pulp or the wood pulp removed. And now does what she does with her cosmetics line. I don't know.
I saw a picture of her sister Kim and Kanye at a wedding over the weekend. Apparently Kanye wore slippers that were too small for his feet. So
yes.
Did you see that, Kath?
No.
Oh, all right. So there are pictures of
like Yeezys?
Wow.
Yeah, but they were like bathroom slippers.
Okay.
But the pictures were of their feet, and I noticed Kim's feet. And she's like almost a billionaire too. Her toes are so jacked up. You got to take a look. Made me feel good.
I want to point something out. So we're talking about a girl here who's saying that she's trying to love herself more. Nick has her Instagram account up.
Yeah.
Why I have never in my life seen someone who loves themselves more than this person. Mm-hmm. Every single picture on this account is a shot of her posing and trying to look sexy. So
what's the Barbie pick?
Congratulations, darling. You love yourself.
Now, remember, by the
in
way,
in fact, you love yourself more than anyone in the world. I can clearly see by the pictures.
Those pictures and those Instagram pictures and those Twitter pictures all earn her money.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. All right. A couple other quick things, and we're going to wrap this. Bruce Willis and Demi Moore back together for their daughter Rumor's 30th birthday party. The pair, who separated in 2000, got together for lunch with Rumor, Scout, and Tallulah.
They had a pony ride.
In a picture on Instagram, Bruce and Demi embraced Rumor. And Demi also recently appeared at the Bruce roast on Comedy Central. And she looks great.
She really does.
She looks really, really good.
All the daughters look really good.
No, I was talking about Demi.
Oh. Sorry.
Because I hadn't seen Demi in a long, long time.
Yeah.
She was married to Willis for 12 years, 1987 to 2000. In October, New York's Food Film Festival is going to open with an unaired episode of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown as a tribute to the chef who passed and took his own life in June.
They were running a commercial last night. I was watching the CNN series on the comedians, mm-hmm. and they were running a commercial for the final season, obviously, of the Anthony Bourdain series. And it's actually really nice. It's just him sort of sitting, looking out at, I guess, the sunset or whatever, but very sad. But they have like 8 episodes remaining to be aired.
Next year, CNN will air a documentary on his life and work. Pre-production has just geared up for that. And then one last thing, a teaser trailer from The Oath, starring Ike Barinholtz and Tiffany Haddish, shows the pair dishing out the laughs on the fierce take on Thanksgiving dinners in our newly highly politicized world. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It sounds good.
It ends up with, you know, tasing and people just beating the crap out of each other. The premise is all Americans are being asked to sign a loyalty oath by the day after Thanksgiving. And Barinholtz's character says, I'm not going to ruin Thanksgiving, and then cuts to him screaming, you're all Nazis. The Oath hits theaters via roadside attractions on October 12th. So that movie's coming out. We're ready to hit some clips here, folks. Mile 22 follows CIA operative James Silva as he leads his small team through South Asia to transport an important asset 22 miles for extraction. In this clip, Mark Wahlberg talks about how he prepared for his monologues. Here we go.
I had so much dialogue that I literally, like, I was on punishment, had detention in school, and had to write something down. I would write each speech down 5 times a day in the beginning of the day and the end of the day to be able to memorize these, and he cut them in half.
Yeah!
Mile 22 is in theaters now. Here's the next clip. The MTV Video Music Awards still attempt to honor talented artists and their music, and that's why Jennifer Lopez is receiving this year's Vanguard Award. Here she talks about the importance of working hard to succeed.
I think in any career, you just have to really work harder than everybody else. Honestly, that's been kind of the secret sauce for me. I just don't let up. I don't let up. I just keep going and keep trying harder and keep trying to evolve and grow within what I'm doing.
You sound insane.
The 2018 Video Music Awards air tonight.
Oh, my God.
On BET, it says.
That's a really odd choice for the MTV Awards.
Right?
That cannot be right.
That can't be right.
Is it the BET Awards and they just screwed up?
It says the MTV.
The MTV Awards always.
Out. No.
On MTV.
No, no, no. The MTV Awards are not on BET.
Or is this the BET Awards?
On MTV?
Let's find out.
You know what, Marissa? Hang on. She's got her microphone.
I'm talking to intern Georgie. Put the clips together. She said she couldn't find it listed on MTV tonight. Let's go to MTV's website.
Then it might not be the MTV Video Music Awards.
That'd be really bad for them if they lost their own award show to BET.
scroll down.
The MTV Awards are tonight on MTV.
Yeah, it's on MTV.
What's on BET tonight?
Probably both. They probably air it everywhere.
You think so?
I think so. By national decree, the MTV Movie Awards are
BET and MTV together?
You can also catch the show live on VH1, Comedy Central, BET, and CMT.
CMT.
What the hell?
Okay.
It's not that good.
By the way, you ever watch a movie on CMT?
No. Is it good or bad?
A two-hour movie takes 3.5 hours. They play more commercials than any network I've ever seen before, Marissa.
Wait, is CMT a pay-for channel? Because I don't have it.
No,
country music television?
Yes, no.
There are certain packages that you, like, for instance, I changed my package the other day, and I don't get True TV anymore.
Yeah.
What?
The past two iterations, I finally, got rid of my big silver remote and, upgraded to X1, and I don't have CMT still.
That's odd.
It's really weird.
Call your local cable provider.
I will, because I wanted to watch
I just say give me everything. Give me everything and two of everything.
I couldn't live without True TV.
Yeah, I know.
Practical Jokers.
I thought I could.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that I...
Wow.
I
well, it also has all the true crime stuff, too.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, that is what I have in the entertainment report for you this morning, my friend. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a second, but not before we give away two passes for some exciting young ladies to get their hands on Kathy's box.
Oh.
That's right. Kathy's Bitch Box, part two. The party is Thursday night. We're headed to Harrah's in Philadelphia. If you're at least 21 years of age and you can join us for this get-together, you can bring a guest who has to be a female as well because it's a sorority get-together. Let's get you on board. 215-263-WMMR. We'll take the first two callers, and you will be able to join us, and it starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday. You have to be there to get the Bitch Box. You have to. All right, 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment.
On 93.3 WMMR.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Smashing Pumpkins. Dorothy.
Music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Steve, I'm at that point in my life where I actually like to brag about how much sleep I got last night.
I know.
And over the weekend, it was record numbers. I slept
really?
So well in my sleep number bed. Yes, it was it was me time. It was wonderful.
Well, besides the length, there's the girth press. Now, besides the length, there is the a sound sleep. And that's what I love about this bed. I have the 360 bed, which adjusts throughout the night, every movement I make. solid night's sleep. You're going to love it.
Yeah, it senses your every move. It automatically adjusts both sides, by the way, so it's perfect for couples. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. My Sleep IQ score last night was a 90.
90 and 90.
Listen, you'll want to come in during the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale. Plus, you can save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. And that is going on now through Labor Day, but you got to get in there. We have lots of locations in our area. The Christiana Mall, the Dover Mall, the Warrington Shops at Valley Square are just a few. If you go to sleepnumber.com, you will find the Sleep Number store that is closest to you.
The best time to save on a new Nissan is now, during the Bottom Line model.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a 4-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hopefully you were the one, or maybe at least you went out and got close, but over at Maggie's on the Waterfront over the weekend, our friends at Miller Lite had an appearance to get you set for the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show, our trip to England. So we got a finalist there.
Yes.
And then the next event is going to be Wednesday. Marissa will be at Destination Dog, which is at 1111 Walnut Street in Philadelphia. Miller Lite specials. It's from 7 to 9. Stop by. You might win some prizes, and you might just be one of our finalists for London.
We've never, well, years and years and years and years ago, we went to Ireland. It's been a long time since we've done anything even remotely of this level trip-wise with the show. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we haven't done an overseas thing in ages, that would have been the last one.
We had to learn the language, and that was a big issue.
What's that? Mystery trip. We did Jamaica.
I mean, yeah, I was thinking the Caribbean's not quite as far, but anyhow, this is a big trip. This is a big event, and we'd love for you to get on board, so that is coming up Wednesday at Destination Dog. Make sure you join Marissa, and we were looking at... Here we are in August, and I was looking at the calendar of my wife. I'm like, we need to have a meeting. We need to sit down. We need to plot some stuff out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we have this dinner that we wanted to have with our friends. You know when we've had to schedule it?
When?
November 17th.
Wow, really?
Because everything else is completely filling up. When you have kids going to school in your life and activities, it just... It has taken over.
Activities.
Okay. I mean, and that's where I am. We have to look to November to get together with friends.
So
that's where it is.
As a father, do you appreciate it when one of your kids just stays in his room all the time?
It's one. Yeah, thank you, Parker.
Thank you.
For just thank you. Out in your room.
Jesus, thank you.
But yeah, we've got all these things on the way, man.
Yeah, the soccer starts up this weekend for my son, which means every weekend from now until December, essentially, has something going on. But I went to... Phil's game last week with a friend, Preston, and an old college buddy, and he and I were trying, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we put together sort of a mini college reunion with a bunch of guys that went to the college together, and we started talking about doing that again this year. forget it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just with people's lives, schedules, work schedules, family schedules, everything else. And so we're like, all right, maybe we'll aim for 2019.
We'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then.
That
bing, bing,
yeah.
bing.
That thought goes through my head every time, Steve. I'm like, if not now, when? But
yes.
you have to accommodate with people's schedules.
I hate to be the, you know, back in the day type of person, but was it this busy when we were kids too or not?
No!
Did we just not know it? Did we not know it?
Well, you know I just, you know, from a sports standpoint, I think sports today, and I'm not talking at elite levels or anything like that, is way more involved than it was when I was a kid.
It has to be.
Yeah.
You would generate it more organically. I would get together with my friends. We go play sports.
Yeah.
It wasn't as organized. It wasn't as regimented. It wasn't, I have to be driven everywhere and all that stuff. The demand on the parents was far more reduced, at least on certain levels.
We had a vacant lot we'd play in.
Yes.
I'll meet you at the lot at 2 o'clock and we'll play ball. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it was. Now, there was organized sports.
Yes.
But there wasn't fall leagues and travel leagues and blah, 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 and all this.
Well, indoor training that took place
in the off season.
Baseball did not exist at any point outside of spring and early summer. And we never had games on Saturday or Sunday, ever.
Huh. And now I feel like the kids are doing everything. They're doing every sport, which I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Nope. They're trying it all out. But I remember as a kid, I think it's wrong. You know, I mean, I didn't. I was like, I did dance and gymnastics. I didn't also do t-ball and soccer. And
our greatest enemy, Kathy, is an engaged, active child because they are at times suck.
No,
no question.
I was playing.
School starts next week, by the way, ma'am.
Listen, don't underestimate a dumb kid.
Yeah.
School is not necessary.
Are we overlooking that?
Why would this? You need a formal education,
right?
Kath, I played a sport in every season.
Season, but we're at two sports in the fall. Like it's multiple sports
per season.
We're doing flag football and soccer.
Oh, okay.
We did. Here's what I did as a kid. And again, I don't think it's a case of things change, obviously. What a genius I am to come to that conclusion. But the we had Little League. That was it. And then to your point, Preston, yes, we'd go out, we'd play our own games of football, we'd do soccer, we'd do whatever, we'd go out to a field and do whatever we wanted to do. And it was less regimented. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a benefit to having it more regimented. It seems like, though, you know, you guys with the kids have your schedule pulled in 50 million different ways.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it, too, is to just keep them, as they get older, keep them you know, involved in things and out of trouble.
I wouldn't say my parents weren't involved. We certainly went and did things, but a lot of times we created our own deals.
Right, but here it goes back to, like, we talked about this before, how when we were kids, we would go outside in the street and ride bikes and play and, you know, we'd just come home.
Help guys look for their puppies?
No, that's the problem. So now you can't let your kid go outside and play in the street. So now we're going to organize a game and we're going to go practice on Wednesday, game on Saturday.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a juxtaposed argument that everybody's got their heads buried in screens, kids, and they don't do a lot of going out and playing and so forth. But then again, they stay busy doing the organized things.
I think for where we live, there's just my kids can't take themselves to their practices. They have to be driven. Where I grew up, we could. I mean, I could walk or ride my bike to baseball, football, or swimming or diving or whatever. But where we live now, it's just. But if
how old is Casey?
She's 12, almost 13.
Tell me that she's not. She could easily drive a car.
Yes.
You could teach her.
Probably.
Yeah.
If we still lived in our old neighborhood, my kids would probably be out more, you know, riding their bikes to their friends' houses and stuff like that.
At 13, I could have driven a car.
I could have driven. I
no
did.
No problem.
And the great thing
I did too, Steve.
I drove a Mazda in first gear from about 3 miles.
And Casey, your daughter, Casey, when she does get her license, she will be entirely responsible for the other siblings. I would put faith in your daughter now for getting the other two kids around.
Maybe.
At any
point. Not right away.
Okay. And I know that this is tangential to this. Trust me.
Uh-huh.
How old do you have to be to use Uber?
That's a good question.
Well, all right. So my nephew was using it last year as a 15-year-old. He was using it.
Hey, lazy parents.
Yeah.
Find out how old you have to be to use Uber, and then as make that
honey, can you get an Uber to gymnastics today, please?
Right. Well,
we're a little busy. Taking you.
Yeah.
There's a business idea.
It is.
Sports Uber.
Sports yeah. Uber. Spoober.
Spoober.
Spooger.
We essentially have that anyway. Spooger. I mean, the way it works for...
Yeah, thanks for calling Spooger. Uh-huh.
The way it works for my kids and because I'm in the fall, whatever, I've got three kids playing three different sports or whatever.
Do you guys
whatever.
Use Team Snap?
My wife probably does.
But what's Team Snap?
What we will... Yeah, go ahead.
Team Snap is an app and an organizing email that we certainly didn't have as children for obvious reasons, and it's really good at keeping everything organized. So it's schedule. All of it goes on your calendar. Everything that... If there's updates, if there's rainouts, whatever, you get a notification on your app.
God.
And so much so, Steve, that it even includes, like, scores. So if you're a parent that can't make it to one of your kids' games, you'll get an update on the app that says that your team's now up 3-1 or whatever.
All right, so let me ask you, in case you remember your point.
For absolutely
I don't mean to jump in. Is it too much? Is it too much?
No, it's not. It's really not that bad. I will.
I know you love it on a certain level.
It will sound like I'm complaining from time to time, but I know that I will miss it when it's gone. Okay. And I don't know when it's going to be gone. So we carpool. So I'm, you know, my son and daughter both have friends that live a street over and they played sports together. And all right, I'll take them to practice. You pick them up from practice or vice versa. Now they forgot to drive my son home from practice last year.
And he had to stay at the field?
And he was at the field all by himself without a cell phone
nice
or anything
job,
like that.
Neighbors.
Yeah, I know. Dude, they were mortified. They were more so. We had practice this year, and I turned to
should have left
son,
one of their kids there.
And I turn around to the son. I go, now, hey, you remember that you guys are driving Seamus home today. Say that out loud to me. Say that out loud. But I was just busting her chops.
Wow. I don't know. I may miss it someday, but listen, I ain't getting any younger, and there's a lot of golf to be played. And I'm already losing yardage, man. Yes. I'm 50 years old.
They need to come watch you play.
Yes. Why don't they come caddy for me? That's
there
exercise.
Okay. I remember as a kid, when my dad got the Black & Decker electric lawnmower with an extension cord, that I would walk alongside of it. I was the cord caddy. Walking along. That's what I would do on a Saturday.
Man, my brothers and I, Steve, we were hired, and my brothers actually had a little mini business going for a stretch of lawn service, you know, and they made bank doing it, but they had time to do that. You know, they were out in the neighborhood because I guess there was more time.
But
back
do
in
we
the
make
day.
Sound like the proverbial when I?
That's
as Preston says,
we totally do.
I'm sure we sound that way, but I think there's legitimacy to it as well.
It's also, it's not, I don't think it's as bad as maybe we think it is.
Yeah.
It's worse.
It is. Well, Steve, we had a our sidewalk growing up was brick, and
bragger.
No, it was the worst. You didn't want to shovel it.
Oh,
it was terrible to shovel, but also
shoveling brick sucks.
We had, you mentioned Saturdays, when it was brick weeding Saturday, it was like, oh man,
hey everybody,
yeah,
brick weeding Saturday,
yep. We had brick weeding Saturday, and then we had bush clipping Saturdays. I'm like, this is
Grandma.
The worst.
I'll be right there. It's awful bushy.
Oh, dear God.
I think I saw a hedgehog in there.
You had brick sidewalks?
Yeah, it's still there. It's still
through the whole neighborhood?
No, just my mother effing sidewalk.
That sucks.
Yes.
Wow.
It sucks.
We have a brick walkway in the back, and I am, and just in a couple of weeks, it's coming up, and then it's going away forever.
Uh-huh. Oh, good for you.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of that.
Yeah.
Hang on. I have Jennifer wants to comment on the Uber thing. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Jennifer?
To go back to the Uber situation, I have been having my son take Uber since he was 13. I'm one of those horrible, lazy parents.
At least you admit it.
Now, this is just with any driver that comes along, you trust that you're...
pretty much.
Wow.
If I couldn't get him from school, I was like, okay, well, here is a debit card and call Uber. So, it seemed pretty safe.
Where do you live?
it seems pretty safe.
Whatever parent wants to hear.
Live in Ben Salem.
Live in Ben Salem.
Yes. Yeah. Bucks County.
You've never Yeah. You've never experienced a driver that's been hesitant to take a 13-year-old by themselves?
No, not at all. I mean, my son's been hesitant to get in the car with them a couple times.
Okay.
But
get in the car.
Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the goddamn car.
So it says here that it's Uber is everyone's private driver. The company maintains in their terms and conditions that you must be at least 18 years of age and the age of legal majority in your jurisdiction.
It's different than 18. To obtain an account, though.
However, can you as an account holder, send them to pick up someone?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. That's what she's doing.
Yes. They have to do it from their phone, though, so that the Uber driver
knows where they are.
Yeah. Jennifer, how long have you been doing that?
Well, he's 17 now.
So he
started when he was 13.
No kidding. Wow.
I think that's a whole new market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to be the parent. I'm going to be driving him when he's 17. Be like, nope, you're not getting my car. I'll take you.
Uber Junior.
I would rather have him Uber, actually. You know,
Uber or Lyft? Do you have a preference?
I have always used Uber.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. Interesting. I've never used Lyft, by the way. Is there a big difference?
Are you tired of driving your children here and there all day?
Oh, it's a commercial.
I may have a solution. It's called Scrooger.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Ben, is an Uber driver. Hi, Ben. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
So I just wanted to comment. I drive for Uber and Lyft full-time during the school year. And it's against the rules for us to pick up anyone that's under the age of 18.
Okay.
Just flat out, that's it.
He's getting arrested right now,
hey,
actually.
Hey, Ben?
I'm sorry about that. What's up?
Yeah, I said, so flat out, that's the rule. Under 18, you can't pick them up.
Correct. I believe they're working on a solution to where they will have a service for kids to use, but right now it's against the rule.
I think the solution is you, as the Uber driver, hands the child a fake mustache, and they can get in the back.
Have you ever refused to pick someone up because they've been under 18?
Yeah, I use my best judgment. So if they're like 16, 17, they look like they're 18, I'll typically not question it because I can't exactly card them.
Yeah. All right.
For the most part, it does happen. The biggest problem we have right now is people summoning kids without car seats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they'll try to put like a little like 2-year-old in the back of a seatbelt or sit on their lap and think it's okay when it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you do that? You can't. Yeah. An Uber driver or a Lyft driver doesn't have a car seat.
No, right. I see people getting into cars with kids on their lap. I mean, not cars, like cabs.
Thanks.
I've seen that.
No, you're right, Case. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're still in a moving vehicle.
So yeah.
Anything could happen.
SEPTA, whatever. Yeah.
So there's a company that's expanding across the country now, and it's called Hop Skip Drive. It's basically Uber for kids. And it's based in Los Angeles. They just launched in Denver, and they're moving from market to market. And so rides start at $15, but there's a carpool option. And it's
have
you ever paid a llama?
Well, I know
$6 a family.
Do the drivers have to go through extensive background training?
Yeah, like what is it? Why is it okay for, you know what I mean, for kids? What? How is it different?
Well, here it says they only hire pedophiles.
Oh, stop. Only for drivers. You can keep your yap shut. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Did anybody else hear that besides
no.
me and Steve?
No, we were having our own conversation.
Did he ever pet a llama?
Good times.
What's the name of it, Nick?
It's called Hop, Skip, Drive.
I just, listen.
Hop, Skip, Drive, shut up.
I'm sure, you have to do background checks if you're going to be a coach of some sort.
Yeah.
So, how extensive is a background check on an Uber driver or a Lyft driver?
I don't think they have. I've had drivers that definitely have not had a background check.
But you're right, Casey.
Yeah.
Being a coach, I've definitely heard about all that.
I had to go through two things of training. One, in like a
an training audit- or checks.
Both. Like I had to sit in an auditorium and go through this whole presentation.
They
and
put you in a centrifuge.
Not quite like that. But then I had to go to another, like, smaller class.
I'm glad they do that.
Yeah.
You have to make sure someone's vetted who's around your kids. We're looking at the commercial here, Preston, and apparently they have moms giving the testimonials. It's one of these cases where they are.
You'd be surprised at the number of texts and phone calls we have coming in of people that send off their kids, young kids, in Ubers. Let me go to, is this Tanya?
Tina.
Oh, Tina. Hi, Tina. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
So my little brother, one time, he was maybe around 11 or 12, and he sends me a text. He's like, hey, if I tell you something, you promise you won't tell Dad. So I'm like, uh-oh, what's he doing now? And he's like, I Ubered to go to Dunkin' Donuts when Dad's at work. I Ubered to go get ice cream to go get Wawa. Like, secretly doing it without telling my
So, parents. Quick question. When you do take the Uber, it's being charged to a credit card, is it not?
Yeah.
He had a card at that age.
He had a credit card?
A debit card.
Okay.
My dad would, like, put some funds on it if he was going to, like, the movies and the mall, teach him to, like, budget a little bit. But, yeah, like, I guess my dad, like, hadn't been checking all his transactions.
At 11 years old, this kid was doing this?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, there's a lot of things that are weird about that. Number one, the driver that's going to take him all over town to be okay with an 11-year-old. Number two, he's got his own debit card at 11. I understand teaching children responsibility with money early, but giving them their own debit card at 11.
And I approve going to Dunkin' Donuts as they are the sponsor of the Preston Steve Show.
This kid had to have set up his own account to do that.
Oh, yeah. My little brother, he's nuts. To get on to some TV show like Jimmy Fallon or something, he made a fake school ID one time because you have to be 16 years old.
He's going to be, Preston, he's going to be Leo DiCaprio pretending he's a pilot. You know,
yeah,
catch me if you can.
Yeah,
wow. He's a little scammer for sure.
Interesting, yeah. Tina. Thank you.
You should have a conversation with my mom about, you know, what she was doing at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old living in West Philadelphia.
What was she doing?
I mean, it was for her, it was nothing to get at 9 years old. To go get on a city bus and go to the shore.
Oh, it's funny you should mention this because I was watching the Comedians in Cars with the one with John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about as a kid, he in Chicago, would go to the movies by himself. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, go to a diner, order a meal. He was like 11.
Yeah.
You know, and like he goes, he was an 11-year-old acting like a divorced husband.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when I was a kid, we definitely, it was a little bit different time. But then again, people went missing and we didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And we've learned a lot more since then.
It was better to not know.
Just to not know about all that bad stuff.
Yeah.
Let me go to, Key, is that your name?
Keith.
Okay, Keith, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I actually am an Uber driver. I was until this last week, and I decided to stop doing it. But I didn't know it was a rule until your last caller. A couple callers.
They didn't tell you that.
Because we're hearing from a lot of people. Apparently, from Preston says on the text boards, there's a lot of people sending their kids on Uber. Now, apparently, Uber policy says no, but you did it a lot yourself, huh?
Yeah, the youngest I picked up was probably 10 or 11. His mom was with him. Like, his mom put him in the car.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, she just sent him off with me.
Well, how much training did you go through to become an Uber driver, and how much of a background check do they do?
There's no training. With Lyft, it's a little more extensive as far as them wanting to actually see the car in person. With Uber, you just send in pictures of the car, you sign a couple of forms, they say they run a background check, and then, you know, within 3 or 4 days, you're good to go.
We're looking at a new service called Uber Preemie. So you have it has an incubator in the back seat.
Thank you, Keith.
You could fit more in the car.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, jeez. Thanks, man.
Ooh, I want to.
What?
How long does it take to become an Uber driver?
We have other Uber drivers here if you want to go to them. Let me go to, I'll go to Joe here. And Joe, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Scrackling.
What's that?
What's crackling?
What is crackling?
Not much.
Okay.
I get kids all the time. At least once a day, I'll get at least an 11-year-old.
At least once a day.
Yep.
And so, where routinely are they going, or what kind of places are they going to? Kids' places? Are they going to Dunkin' Donuts? Where are they going?
Going to the Purple Orchid.
They're 11 years old. They'll go wherever I take them.
They'll go wherever. Yeah, but give Steve an example.
Usually it's like school or whatever. Like the after school program or something.
Okay, so they're taking an Uber to after school. Well, that goes back to the original reason I asked.
Mm-hmm.
When parents are getting pulled in 50 million different directions, is there a feasibility to Uber to get them to a game or something? But this opened up a whole new realm I was unaware of.
Yeah, and whose account are they using?
The one thing I usually do is because there's a part on the app where you can call the person who ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll usually call their mom or dad, let them know they got where they have to go safe.
So okay, see, that that right. seems yeah. to be, yeah, that would be, I think that would be an absolutely necessary feature that you right. have confirmation that they've been dropped
hey,
off.
Joe, from the time that you first applied to be an Uber driver to where you actually became an Uber driver, how long was that?
About 2 days.
Two days. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I think they've actually done, they've actually extended the amount of vetting they do a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole kid thing, I don't really agree with. I wouldn't put my kid on there, but.
Okay.
Do you drive in the same area most of the time, or are you all over the place?
No matter where I start, I live in Norristown, but no matter where I start, I end up in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Okay.
No doubt. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
I just wonder if there's a fun little contest or game that we could play. Make Nick become an Uber driver. Like, legit. Or me, but I don't usually leave the studio.
I'll do it, sure.
You could drive people to work.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I was going to wrap it up. So, interesting about, I did not know that with all the activities and so forth, that you can just throw your kid in an Uber.
In an Uber.
Throw a 10-year-old in an Uber. Send him off to Little League.
Let him go because he's got his own debit card.
Yeah, you're right. He can set up his own account and do the whole thing. Very, very interesting. All right. Well, listen, I want to take a quick break. We want to come back in a moment. We do have the B-File on the way and an event that's going on tonight that you can be a part of. It's a very cool thing that is a good cause, and it's called Dining Out for the Dogs. And when we get back, we're actually going to have an example of someone who's benefited from that. But tonight, and we'll tell you more about it in a little bit, we're going to be at the various White Dog Cafe locations, all of us here on the show at various locations, and also members of our Beasley Broadcast family, some of the other radio stations that we work with. We'll be back in just a moment to get you those details. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Birthday Boy. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Birthday Boy, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, a heads up, gang. Before you know it, we will be having a calendar release party. But first, we have to have a calendar before we have the party.
Yeah.
And so we are in the beginning process of starting to organize these things to take place. And if you are interested in being in the pages of our calendar, you can submit photos and information to us. The email address is girls@WMMR.com, and we're gonna get this rolling quickly. So if you're interested, we need to see some of your portfolio. Send the pictures. Kathy is the one that handles that account. And if you know someone who you think should be in the pages of the calendar, you should let them know about this.
And you can be a working model, or you can be a novice who just happens to have a couple of pictures. We're really just looking for anybody and everybody who thinks that they, you know, have the chops to be in the calendar. It ends up benefiting everybody because this is one of the main giveaways that we have at the Camp Out for Hunger. And, you know, you help us out, and we really appreciate it. So if you're interested, we'd love for you to submit.
And it's easy to remember. The email address is just girls@WMMR.com. So send those over when you get the opportunity. We're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. You can try a different approach to addiction treatment. Log on to center4healing.com and discover freedom over addiction. We will begin with this. Police responded to a report of a gunshot victim Thursday morning. This is in Virginia. Police said the shooting started with an argument. Now, a witness said that he heard two people in a local barbershop arguing over whether or not Halle Berry played or would play Aretha Franklin in a movie. There was a shooting over this, folks.
Okay. At first, I thought it might have been something stupid and frivolous, but this is the kind of thing where you have to brandish a firearm.
Police said the fight turned physical, and then one of the subjects, identified as 44-year-old Michael Jermel Hatton, produced a firearm, shooting the other man at least once outside the shop. Both men got emergency medical assessment and treatment by fire and rescue personnel before being transferred to local hospitals for further treatment.
One quick clarification, Preston. Was the shooter in the camp that said yes, she would or she would not?
I don't know. Franklin had previously wanted Barry to play her in an upcoming biopic, but Barry claimed that she couldn't sing and wouldn't do the role justice, according to E! News.
Ooh.
Instead, Jennifer Hudson was tapped to play the Queen of Soul in the film, who I think is a much better choice.
So the one who got shot was voting for Jennifer Hudson?
Let's see, who is the guy?
I probably would have got shot then.
I don't really all know, right. Steve.
It's tough. It's tough, man. You know how these things are.
Police said the gunshot victim, Tony Jonathan Lundy, is considered to be in critical condition.
Huh.
A nearby business was fully staffed during the shooting, and men inside recalled hearing someone saying, no, 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 before hearing about 4 to 5 gunshots. Hatton was treated for his injuries and released from the hospital. And then he was taken to the magistrate's office where his warrants were secured and served, and he remains held without bond. Things took a barbaric turn Friday night during a fight at Souther's Marsh Golf Club in Plymouth, Massachusetts. A 47-year-old man was arrested and charged with mayhem after allegedly biting another man's finger off during the altercation. I think we have a 911 clip.
Yes, we do.
Someone called 911 after two foursomes got into it on the course. Firefighters arrived to find that one of the men had his finger bitten off down to the knuckle.
Oh!
The rest of his finger was on ice. Yeah, here's the 911 clip. Here we go.
Be advised, an update from the PD. Apparently, there's two foursomes that got into an altercation, and there's been a finger that's been bitten off.
The victim's laying down on the main entrance road between a cluster of three golf carts.
Golf carts.
The alleged biter was taken to jail where the victim was transported to a local hospital. The crime of mayhem in Massachusetts is defined as malicious intent to maim or disfigure and carries a penalty of up to 20 years in state prison, by the way. 28 years ago, a 14-year-old in the United Kingdom got hit in the eye during a game of badminton and she lost her contact lens. But it was just found embedded in a cyst in her left eye.
Oh, my God. Ew, ew, ew.
28 years ago. It's been sitting in her eyelid, and she had no idea.
So how big was that cyst?
I don't know. She only discovered it after visiting an ophthalmologist for what she thought was an unrelated issue. Her left eyelid had been swollen and drooping for about 6 months. Doctors discovered a well-defined cyst and surgically removed it. After that, it broke open, revealing a very fragile, hard contact lens inside.
I'm
going to
throw up.
Wow.
It's a mystery as to why the lens only caused swelling and inflammation nearly 3 decades later.
That's insane.
That's a mystery.
Isn't that crazy?
You hear stories occasionally of people who put, like, a contact on top of another contact. They forget to have them in already.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know how it's possible because then wouldn't it be blurry?
Yeah, wouldn't you notice your sight was good?
Well, and I've been told that you can't, like, a contact can't actually get lost in your eye. It's not like, it'll eventually come out, but not in this story.
Nope. 28 years, yeah. The 74-year-old woman rescued by Good Samaritans from a robbery and a beating in a store parking lot said that she thought her life was about to end. This is Brenda Stinson. She said, I just knew that was it for me. I just thought I was going to be here no more. But the feisty Birmingham woman said she wasn't going down without a fight. She said, I grabbed him between his legs. I grabbed him good between his legs.
Nice.
She said, that's what's been my plan because that's a man's weak spot. But I didn't know it was going to come true. But I know he's going to be sore. This is a 74-year-old woman. Stinson said that she had bought groceries at Piggly Wiggly and then gone next door to buy her medicine at the pharmacy. When she got back to her SUV, the suspect seemingly came out of nowhere. She said, that's when he grabbed me. He grabbed me so quick when we got to tussling, and he was trying to get my money, but I was holding on to my pocket. She said she never carries a purse and instead keeps her cash in a brown bag tucked in her pocket. She believes the suspect had followed her and watched her in the Piggly Wiggly because he knew exactly where to look for the money. She said, we tussled for about 4 or 5 minutes before anybody saw us. He threw me to the ground, and I threw my money on the seat of the car. It was when she landed on the pavement that passersby saw what was happening.
Wow.
And a witness, Kimberly Whitehead, said it just hurt my heart to see that. This man came and grabbed him and then took him to the ground, throwed him to the ground, she said. The man who thwarted the crime was William Daniels. Stinson said that her attacker kept yelling that he had AIDS. She said he was lying. He thought that the man would let him go if he said he had AIDS. But Daniels kept the suspect pinned face to the ground until police arrived, but it was the squeeze to the nuts that kind of stopped the whole thing as
outside the Piggly Wiggly.
Yep, it all happened there. Well, a man who was meditating on the curb with his eyes closed in San Francisco's Tenderloin was punched in the face by a robber who took his cell phone and wallet. The victim, described only as a 43-year-old man, lost consciousness and was treated at a local hospital following the assault. He was just sitting there meditating, and a guy came up and punched him in the face.
As peaceful as can be.
Authorities said the man has since been released from the hospital. The suspect, identified only as male, fled the scene.
I hate meditators.
Police did not say what the victim was meditating about, but they did say he had been drinking alcohol, so he was a drunk man meditating, apparently.
Can you possibly be more vulnerable?
No.
Yeah.
You're sitting here with your eyes closed.
Drunk.
You got meditate. A good buzz going on. And somebody walks up and punches you in the face. All right. So anyhow, that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the Dining Out for Dogs event that is taking place in multiple locations. The White Dog Cafe. And there are three different locations that you can join us. And to get more on about this, because proceeds are going to benefit Alpha Bravo Canine. We did this last year. And we're going to welcome a guest to the studio who has brought in his service dog, Lydia. And he is one of the first recipients of an Alpha Bravo Canine service dog. Please welcome Frank Hudman to our program.
Hey, what's this up, guys?
Hey, Frank, how you doing, brother?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good to see you guys again.
You as well. Last year was a great time.
It was awesome.
Very successful.
Yes, it was.
And we're going to ask you some questions about Alpha Bravo Canine and the work that they do, and you can speak firsthand on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let me ask you just quickly. On you're one of the first recipients of the dog. How much is this dog meant to you, and what does Lydia provide to you? Because you're a veteran, and did you have you had a post-traumatic stress disorder, or what yes, did you have? Because it's all sorts of things that these dogs are trained to handle. So
right.
So please describe what Lydia provides to you in your daily life.
Okay, so basically what happens is when I came home, I was diagnosed with PTSD and traumatic brain injury.
Okay,
which resulted basically in anxiety in public places.
Yeah,
I didn't like to go anywhere, so I kind of stayed in the house a lot.
Which will impact your ability to get out and work and everything.
Exactly. And another thing, they had to put me on a lot of medication to kind of ease that stress that I was feeling.
Yeah.
Since I've gotten Lydia, she has totally gotten me off of 3 anti-anxiety and psychotic medications.
And you're out. We see you out and about at these events all the time. So would you call it like a complete 180 on where you were before you got the dog?
Absolutely. The thing is, you got to remember, though, is I still do have PTSD.
Yeah.
In place of the medication, the dog, Lydia, she's been, like, amazing for me. It totally, like, I can go anywhere now. Like, we went to the Phillies game with a friend of mine, Timmy. We did, it was when Chase Utley was here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We were in a packed train car on the subway. I had my own space because of her. I mean, that's exactly what she provides for me.
And you could not have done that prior to Lydia.
No.
Yeah.
No, I never would have got on the subway.
Okay. So just from the point of just also, you've got to earn a living. You've got to do whatever you do. And as far as does Lydia, we've seen this before. Lydia will sense if you're getting anxious. And what does she do?
She does. What she does is when she senses I'm getting anxious, she does one of two things. If she sees me getting anxious where it's in, like, I'm getting really upset,
yes,
she'll actually jump up on my chest and push me away from whatever's happening.
Wow.
Other than that, she will redirect my attention by, like, nuzzling my hand, like, touching my hand with her nose or licking the side of my arm or something.
Now, you've had her for a while. Does it still amaze you the perception that she has that she can do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's amazing because even when I'm sleeping, she's checking in on me, you know, because I do get nightmares from time to time. And if I wake up, you know, with a sudden jolt or something, she'll actually be there to lick my face and remind me, hey, buddy, you're home. You know what I mean?
Now, your dad is here and you have obviously family that you love and adore. How important is Lydia to you in your life?
Well, she's everything for me. I've gotten through 2.5 years of school so far, college.
Yeah.
So without her, it would have been a real struggle.
And Alpha Bravo Canine and Jen Green trains. It is a specific set of training issues that has to be involved in this. It's a meticulous thing that goes into these dogs. That's why they're expensive to train. However,
Alpha Bravo Canine donates the dogs to veterans. It's a time-consuming process, but it's a money in, you know, consuming process. So an event like tonight at the White Dog Cafe at all three locations, you know, you have to be excited because you know that another veteran will be the recipient eventually of a dog with the money that's raised. So, and you've been out at all these events. I know you're paying it forward. So it's important to you to encourage people to come out tonight as well.
Absolutely. I kind of like to think of myself as like the unofficial spokesman for Alpha Bravo Canine yeah. since I'm the first recipient. And since I'm such a, a success.
Yeah.
These dogs do cost upwards of $30,000 a piece.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, the first time I met Lydia, Lydia was about 6 months old. About 7 to 8 months into her life is when I started training with the dogs. Jen brought me in and started pairing me up. And she took to me, and it was just, you know, from there on, it was just me and her.
Yeah. And you have to have that pairing. And sometimes a dog will go like 80% of the way through and it doesn't end up like with a seeing eye dog. They have the same thing. Sometimes it just won't quite work. So it's a very sensitive thing to get it to come out right. So that's why it involves so much. So they can't just roll off a conveyor belt. It's got to be tailored to the person.
And it's exactly right, Steve. When I was training with her, we had to train for my specific needs.
Yeah.
Like my anxiety, the signs of my anxiety, like when I bite my nails or, you know, just certain things that I do when I'm about to get upset.
Yeah.
We had to train her to recognize those signs.
It's just amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing to see it. And tonight's going to be fun. We're going to have it at the three locations. We have Haverford, we have Wayne, and then in University City. And it's going to be all three locations. And we have some of the jocks, Matt and Kristen and Dave Cruz from Ben and Marissa will be in the city. Preston, I think you're going to be at Wayne.
Yep, Nick will be there.
And Casey, you and I are going to be over at Haverford with John DeBell. I think Natalie from the Fanatic will be there as well. Mm-hmm. So a number of jocks from the Beasley stations will be spread around. There's going to be some puppies to kiss.
And it starts at 5, right? Is there a time where it ends?
It's just a general through to like 9:30, 10.
Okay. So people like to hang out till later, and that's all good. It's all for a great cause because these dogs provide such a valuable service other than medication, and that's the big point.
It freed you up from medication.
It freed me up so much. Yeah. I mean, my life is a complete 180 because of my dog.
That's awesome. And so you can come down and hang out at the bar. Just make your reservations if you can to get in on the dinner. But if you want to even just come down and say hi to us and make a donation, and there's some raffle items and things, the person who does the artwork that you might have seen in some of the White Dog Cafes is auctioning off artwork as well, I think tailored to your pet. I think there's there's all sorts of things. The main draw is come down for some great food, come hang with us. And you're hearing your story is obviously an inspiration, and we can do that for other veterans as well with Jen Green and Alpha Bravo Canine.
I am so happy that you guys are taking part of this. I really am. I'm glad you guys are doing the investment to us vets who are coming home with these problems.
Our pleasure.
Where are you going to be? You're going to be at the...
I'm going to be the Center City one.
Center City?
Okay. Yes.
Excellent.
Me and Lydia will be there, so I hope people come out, whether you like food or buy some art. Please donate to this cause.
Most definitely. All right, tonight, and you can get the details at WMMR.com if you want to take a look. It's a /event, and you'll be able to find it. So, all right, Frank, thanks for stopping in and bringing Lydia with you. Yeah, one more thing?
Yeah, one more thing. Before I get off air, anybody who's interested in these dogs, they can go to alphabravocanine.org.
All right. All that information is up on our site as well.
It is up on, yeah.
Yep.
All right, excellent. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Great
and
seeing you guys again.
Everyone tonight. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
You know, with the bizarre weather that we've been having for the past, well, it's been a month and a half now, easily, I'm like hesitant to plan anything that might be outside.
Oh, yeah.
When I made my I had a short trip when we were on vacation, I made the plans back in like January.
Yeah.
And for months I kept thinking about, oh, this is gonna be great, we're gonna play golf, we're playing 72 holes of golf in 3 days, it's gonna be amazing. And then at about June I started to go, but what if it rains?
What
if it rains? It's gonna destroy everything. And we've had these weird days where it looks like a beautiful, this is going to be a gorgeous
day. Let's get out. And then you're at the door.
and then
a deluge.
Right.
I mean, not just rain.
Well, the hell with that. Then you go back in, you get involved with the movie, and you're halfway through the movie, and suddenly it's blaring sun outside.
It's gorgeous.
Hey!
Yeah, exactly.
I hate it. So, yeah, I told Casey yesterday, I just did my hike in the pouring rain.
Sure. Just go ahead.
I can't wait.
It's probably going to stop anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You may as well go out there. But, Case, you were telling us about a huge fish event that had to be canceled. What was that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was this big event.
This weekend was supposed to be, right?
It was this past weekend. Fish, at the end of every summer, they do a big festival show. So if you can...
This made national press.
If you're listening right now and you hate the band Fish, just... You know, it's not about that. Insert whatever band you like into this situation, and this is what happened. They and I've been to these things. It is an entire weekend of concert where you sleep at the venue.
Yeah.
You know, you camp out in your tent, and
it's a huge festival.
Three sets a day. They do like an early afternoon set, a late afternoon set, and then a night set. And it's awesome, and you look forward to it. And there was so much rain up in Watkins Glen, which is where this was taking place.
Right.
What state is it in?
Oh, it's in New York.
Okay.
It's in New York. It's just above, like, Potter County, Pennsylvania. And there was so much rain that it actually contaminated the water supply for the county.
Okay.
And they had to cancel the entire event.
So how many attendees usually?
I'm not sure how many.
It's huge, though, is it not?
I've been to events that was like in excess of 70,000 to 80,000 people.
Here I go.
Now, I also was at a fish event up in Coventry, Vermont, where the last show of the tour was here in Camden. And at the end of that show, they said, hey, listen, we got a lot of rain up in Vermont. The whole area is flooded. Can you please, if you're planning on going right now, can you wait and let us get everything set up? And they had tractor trailers, trucks and trucks and trucks filled with wood chips that were being dropped onto that area because it had been flooded. Now, none of the stuff was damaged or whatever, but it ended up being a sloppy, sloppy mess.
What made the news and the issue on this weekend just passed is that the news came down like a day and a half
basically
before.
So I think
people had already made the plans. Many had started the commute there.
People were already there.
Already there.
Yeah, so I think that the word came down on Thursday. And, you know, usually, you know, the concert starts Saturday and then Sunday and then it's over, you know, Sunday night. So usually people get there Friday and then they'll, you know, party in camp and have a good time Friday night. And then Saturday is the big concert. But there were people that were already there that they allowed to stay for the day. And they said, you know, but by noon tomorrow, you guys all have to go.
I mean, can you imagine
the
cheese sandwiches that went bad?
Oh, I mean, there is so much plan. Yes.
Yeah.
All those nitrous tanks that are going unused. All of that.
Seriously, though, you're talking.
We need a charity event for all those unused nitrous tanks out there.
How can I help?
Yes. Yeah, by the way, I was at the.
Maybe you can help.
I was at the fish concerts in Camden, and I was driving out of the parking lot, and there was a guy there with like three balloons, and he's sucking on one. He's like, I think this is oxygen. This is not nitrous.
Steve, nitrous is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of
healing. We've got to do something about
it. There you go. That's it.
Like the hexafluoride.
Hexafluoride is like that.
But a big event like that.
Yeah.
Have you?
And it's a camp.
You've had things canceled like that underneath you.
Yeah.
I
did.
So when you have that.
Yeah.
When you make the plans. I mean, you know, it's like Christmas not coming when you're so invested, you're so excited. I think about the people that went down to that, was it Fry Festival in the Caribbean?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
And they thought, this thing, you know, you'd seen the ads for it and you're thinking this is going to be huge. And the people who ended up.
Yeah. Oh, that was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
I am the worst in scenarios like that. When the big thing that you have planned is over. And now what? My buddy Will is the best at finding something else.
Yeah.
Or just making the best of, okay, this happened, so here's what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
I'm like, this happened. I'm really pissed off.
Ruins everything.
Are we supposed to do now?
Yeah.
I wish I had whatever it was, that ingenuity, that intuitiveness to say, okay, this happened, our big plan is screwed up, so now here's an alternate plan. I'm not good at that.
Or like John Dornbos, like your life plan gets screwed up and you got
to
fix it.
For me, it's the little things. I can't come to terms with the big things I'm fine with. When I was in, I went to Austin City Limits It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. We went Friday night, Saturday night, and then there was a huge Texas thunderstorm that came down and washed out the entire park, and they canceled Sunday. And I was already there.
You still got a couple days.
Yeah, no.
I understand that.
But the difference is that nobody camps there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But even it doesn't even have to matter with camping. I think you're getting geared up for an event.
I was geared up for an event. I know. There was an entire day of concert. Like, an entire day. It's
right.
Not like I missed two bands. I mean, there were dozens of bands, and I missed Lionel Richie.
Right. But here's the deal.
And I missed Lionel Richie.
This weekend just passed. They missed everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't get a part of it. They missed everything.
So what'd you end up doing to...
So it was a Sunday, so we ended up just sleeping in. We went to a bar to watch an Eagles game. And then...
Woo!
And the Eagles weren't even good that year.
So the money was already spent.
At least we got our money back.
You did get your
money
back.
For that day, okay. Everybody got their money back. But then all the bands were there, and so they ended up, like, all around Austin, they ended up doing, like, little gigs at some of these other little venues and stuff like that.
But when you're headed out to a weekend event and camping, and we're going to be staying there, and it gets canceled, you have to abruptly, you got to switch gears. Marissa?
Yeah, when I, a few years ago, I think it was in 2009, the Phillies are playing the Rockies in one of the World Series playoffs, and it got snowed out. A baseball game was snowed out, and it was a Saturday, and I had planned to go to the game Saturday, sleep over, get on a plane Sunday morning, go right from the airport to the Eagles game at 1 o'clock, and then go to the Eagles game. But
sounds like a Marissa week.
Yeah, that's right. But you're like, okay, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and it all comes crashing in. So are you like Preston? Do you just get morose and F this, or are you good on the fly? Do you come up with a quick fix?
What do you think, Preston? Steve.
I think you collapsed like a house.
Yeah, no, she's gears quick.
So my buddy and I stayed overnight, extended our stay, and then we went to the Broncos game, who were playing the Pats. We found tickets into that. I missed the Eagles game, but we watched it in a Philly bar.
All right.
And went to the Phillies-Rockies game.
I'm sure people's vacations have been because of, like, hurricane and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, we're getting ready, we're going to go, and then you're keeping an eye on the path of said hurricane, and then next thing you know, all of this money.
I don't care if you have insurance. I mean, insurance makes it easier, but when you're planning, when you're in that mindset, when you're in that mode, when you're in the airport with your freaking luggage, it doesn't matter.
No.
You're in the zone at that point.
Hey, Marissa handed me this. I saw the headline, but I didn't get into the story, but apparently a Backstreet Boys concert was canceled from a storm, and 14 people were hurt.
Oh, wow.
That was over the weekend. It was in Oklahoma. Thackerville, Oklahoma, to be specific. It knocked down entrance trusses. There were 70 to 80 mile an hour winds, and 14 people got hurt.
God, don't let me die at a Backstreet Boys concert.
Seriously.
Right. What was that concert?
I didn't tell anyone I was coming here. How did he die? He was saving a burning hospital.
Yeah, exactly. They switch it.
Yeah.
What was that concert a few years ago where there was terrible storms and...
Was it a country act?
Sugar Land?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
And then the scaffolding crashed down, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, that's, just talking about canceling things, like, yes, it sucks, but it's probably the right thing to do,
Yeah, when people are getting crushed, yeah.
Yeah, there was an Avett Brothers concert this past year that got canceled at the last minute. And that's because...
Bad vibes.
Well, did you hear... Bad vibes. No, you didn't hear about this? There was a guy who was going into the concert who said he was a police officer, like an off-duty police officer, and had a gun on him.
Oh, oh boy. And, I did see that. Yeah.
And then what ended up happening is, they were like, well, hang on, wait here for a second. We got to go through these proper protocols and blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, the dude just took off into the crowd, into the concert venue. So they said, you know what? Everybody out.
They did the right thing.
And they canceled the whole thing.
I don't know who the guy was or what he had in mind. So, but they canceled the whole concert?
The whole concert was canceled.
They didn't just delay it and kick everybody out and rescreen everybody and send them back in?
No. No, they didn't. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happens? But so with the fish show case, they don't reschedule something like that, do they?
I don't know how they can, And so, all right. So you've got, let's say, 40,000, 50,000 people that are descending upon this area. But not only that, but for months, you know, when they do this thing, it's not like they just set up a stage.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of planning and construction goes into all of the stuff around the stage area.
It's a problem with things, big shows like that, shows mm-hmm. of that level.
Here's one you don't get out of, and I'm wondering if any other people have had this happen. This is, we had tickets to see Michael Jackson in London, and he died.
How dare he?
There's no make good.
No. I'm wondering if
Tito has agreed to fulfill the contract.
Right.
Nah, it's okay.
Yeah, I wonder if you've had plans to go to something important and then
because the way tickets go on sale now too, you know, it's so far in advance. I'm wondering if that's happened.
Nick, that's exactly right. A year in advance.
Right. I've told you guys this story. It's not a concert. It wasn't a show, but it certainly was a very, very special event that was going to take place. My dad was going to go play golf at Augusta National, and the only way to play is to play with a member, and the member can't just allow you to go, and the member has to play with you as well. So this was a friend of a friend of a friend type of thing. My dad was going to be able to go to Augusta. And for a golfer, it's the Valhalla.
Yes.
It's
no bigger.
There could be maybe two or three things that would be as big, but that's it. And so the week before he was going to go, the dude died.
What?
That he died.
I would have weekended Bernie'd it.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Strap him in the car.
Yes.
With the elaborate pulley system and the whole...
Start playing some calypso music.
Yes.
Steel drums.
And they could prop him up in the tee box. You're
exactly.
Have him swing and somebody just throws a golf ball. Died.
Oh, my God. And I know your heart goes out, obviously, to the person who's passed away. But sweet Jesus.
You could have waited a week.
Do a push-up.
Come on.
Skip a pork chop.
Yeah. Let me go to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Good morning. What's up, Mark?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, I went to a Metallica concert. I don't know. It was a while ago. It was when the Wachovia Center.
Okay.
Back when it was the Spectrum or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, one of their road crew guys got burned like five songs into the concert, and they just canceled the show.
One of the road crew guys did?
One of the road crew.
I remember when James got burned.
Now that you can see. Yeah. He's kind of an essential part. He got set on fire. But
I'm sorry. Our lead singer was set on fire.
He Hot Pocket burned the roof of his mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our roadies ate a particularly hot Hot Pocket. I believe it was one with the pepperoni. And there's a significant patch of burned skin on the roof of his mouth. So we're going to have to ask you to leave the venue.
So they canceled the show after that happened?
Yeah, they were like five songs in, and they're like, yeah, you know what? Our guy's going to the hospital. We got to go. And they just, that was it.
Wow, how pissed off was the crowd?
Believe it or not, everybody was very orderly and, just
good.
Left. They were fine. Got hurt. Nobody, no riots or nothing.
It can go the other way real quick.
There was, in fact, thanks, I think it was at a Marilyn Manson show or something recently.
Yeah.
And they showed the audience... I believe they get the news.
Oh, yeah.
What? And you see people like...
There's in music news, he canceled another one. He was like four songs in and canceled.
He
supposedly food poisoning.
Okay.
I think Marilyn might be having some drug issues.
Yeah, he might be.
Because that's a couple of shows that he's canceled.
I'm sure nobody remembers, but when Owen Hart passed away, when he fell... That wrestling event... Did they just cancel it right then and there?
I can't imagine they would have continued when someone died in the ring.
Yeah, let me go to...
That was really a bummer, but here comes Steve Austin!
The Undertaker was up next. I'll go to John. You're on the air. John, good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
A friend of mine's father, we were all supposed to go to Washington, D.C. to be honored by the president. My friend's father fought through all of World War II in Japan, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And he died a week before we were supposed to go down and get honored.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We had to go through all this security and everything with the Secret Service and everything checked out. And then a week before he died, which in hindsight is probably a good thing because he couldn't stand Obama and he couldn't wait to give him a piece of his mind. I kept on saying to him, Joe, you can't do this.
Maybe it did work out. Yeah, the last thing you want is a Secret Service detail taking him out.
But, John, they didn't do a posthumous ceremony anyway?
Yeah, it was done later. When he was buried, it was full military honors, the whole 9 yards, and you know, but it would have been neat to go down to experience that. And
I don't care how you feel about you to receive an honor from the president and to do that. That's especially for what he did and his achievement. But that sucks. That just a week before.
Yeah,
it sucks for me. Like I said, he didn't care. To be honest with you, he really didn't care. He couldn't wait to get down to give him a piece of his mind.
They don't let you. Yeah, they don't let you, you know, engage the president or whoever is in office and lay out your list of demands, but you are being honored, you know.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy. Two things. Casey, they apparently did continue that, the WWE, after Owen Hart passed away.
Oh, like, my God.
They went on with the show, and they caught a lot of flack for it.
Nick, had they confirmed that he had...
Yes.
Did he die... right there,
and they stressed that it was not a part of the show, that this wasn't a stunt, but then they continued doing the WWE event that night, or maybe it was WWF at the time. Anyway, it kept going.
Wow.
And then a bunch of other people are texting in that when Chester Bennington passed away, there was a Linkin Park show after that, so people had tickets for that show. And
in fact, we had given away backstage passes. Right,
Simi wants to talk about that. Is this Simi?
Yes, this is Simi.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good. We were just talking about that Linkin Park show.
Yeah. He was supposed to play in July of last year at the BB&T Pavilion, and I was a week or a few days before that, he passed away.
Whoa.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, we had a Word of the Week prize where you were supposed to go back and meet him and the whole band and everything.
Man.
I think of the...
Thanks, Simi.
Like, to talk about, like, legendary shows, there was... I remember, I think Elvis was supposed to play the Nassau Coliseum, the day after he died, the day before.
Wow.
And you think of people who are like, you know, I mean, obviously you don't know it's historical at the time, but it is fairly historical that Elvis is out and performing.
Yeah.
And, but Jesus.
Hang on, let me go to... And I wonder if you hang on to those tickets, you know? I mean...
Yeah.
I have David. Hi, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I called in mostly for you, Preston, because I'm a drummer, and I had tickets to go see Led Zeppelin when John Bonham died. I had tickets to go see The Who because I wanted to see Keith Moon, and he died.
What?
Don't go to see Rush.
You have any Spinal Tap tickets, too? Don't go see Rush. I like it. Dude, so how many days before each of those shows did they die?
Oh, it wasn't right before, but I almost didn't buy tickets to go see my first Rush concert because I was afraid.
Yeah, good call, man. Did you hang on to those tickets?
Yeah, I did for the longest time. I don't know where they're at now, but I lost track of them like 20 years ago.
You have to imagine that those stubs, you know, those are, you know, the last concert before Keith Moon died, the last concert before, you know, Bonham died.
Yeah.
They've got to be worth, you know, something.
I would think so. Hang on. Talk about unfortunate events. I'm going to go to Tina. Hi, Tina. Good morning.
Delco.
Yes, my girl.
Represent. Delco. What's up, Tina?
All right. So I'm a huge Weezer fan. I have been my whole life. And in 2009, they did a promotion where they were giving people the opportunity to sing on stage with Rivers. So you made your own YouTube video and you put it up on the website for a radio station, and then people could vote for who the winner was. So the voting was happening, and I was like way in the lead for days and days. I was in the lead, and the morning they were supposed to announce the winner, I turn on the radio to hear the winner, and instead I hear a news story that the tour bus was in an accident and Rivers had a punctured lung and they canceled the tour.
Oh, the whole tour.
And I was so heartbroken.
And you were going to get to do it.
I got to do the Hootenanny tour through you guys, and I got to play my instrument on stage with them, but I was like,
I remember that.
So looking forward to singing with him, and I was heartbroken.
And there's nothing you can do. It's not, you know, it is what it is, but you're there. That level of excitement reaches a fevered pitch, and then you have the carpet pulled out from underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's exactly. That's it.
Yep.
Oh, it sucked.
It totally sucked.
Thank you. All right, Casey, you want me to go to line one?
Yeah.
This is Paul talking about that fish show over the weekend. Hi, Paul, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, man. What's going on?
Oh, well, it wasn't the weekend I was hoping for.
yeah.
I was actually up there Wednesday. They had early arrival this time for this festival, so there was about 5,000 or 10,000 people that actually came up Wednesday. And then even more poured in on Thursday, and they were getting ready to sound check Thursday around 5 o'clock, and then out of nowhere, it's like, yeah, it's
not happening.
Well, I mean, and it was just weather related, right? There was just too much rain coming in?
It was contaminated water, actually.
Oh.
It had poured so much like the weekend before and Monday and Tuesday that come Thursday, the it wasn't safe for human consumption. Basically, all the water was contaminated.
So did you hang out for the weekend regardless, or what'd you do?
Nah, I came on home. My two buddies that were there, they went on over to near Saratoga. His uncle has a lake house, and they were just going to camp there for a couple days. But
Paul, at what point did you get the news?
Thursday, about 5:30.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, at least the news can be disseminated quickly now. You know, it's not like you get there and everybody's in the dark, you know, with the way that information gets out, people are at least aware of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it spread quick, and they have, like, an internal radio station that plays throughout at the festival.
Yeah, the bunny. Yeah. So yeah, what was the vibe?
The bunny. You're listening to the bunny. Hey, got some bad news about the fish culture this weekend. It's not going to happen.
It was almost like the Kennedy assassination. I went, like, running over to someone's campsite to hear the announcement. And,
wow.
I did.
We go down to Dealey Plaza with information about the fish concert.
They said you could stay till noon on Friday, though, so a lot of people, some people left.
Oh, and they drank the bad water while they hung out.
Yeah, tripping on poop water.
Oh, wait, so when did you stay till Friday or did you leave Thursday?
We stayed one more night and then we left at noon on Friday.
How big was that party on Thursday?
It was a little subdued. There was a few parties. I walked around. They actually parked me in the really, like, almost VIP camping by accident.
VIP camping?
The Glen Close, it's called.
The Glen Close? I love it. Wow. Yeah, all right.
Anyway, it's like 100 feet from the stage, so that's just
wow. Pretty cool. To the show that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
I see that footage of like, Woodstock, you know, the original Woodstock, mm-hmm. You talk about, Nick, about the information disseminating quicker now because of all that stuff. People going up there and just kept going up. And you see the slimy, muddy mess. I has no attraction.
My parents went. I told you guys this, right?
I know.
Yeah, so my parents went to Woodstock. They actually were among the few people who had tickets. My dad still has them somewhere. And
what were they, $10 a piece?
Something, yeah, real yeah, dirt yeah. cheap. And they went to school at Lycoming, which is in Williamsport. Yeah. And so the drive up to Woodstock wasn't that bad. They got there, and Steve, like, I guess then nobody quite knew how legendary it was going to be, right?
No, there was no indication. There was just a confluence of events that...
Right.
And everyone finally said, yeah, I'm going to go.
And so my dad and mom, both after a few hours of like the rain coming down torrentially and they had a tent and whatever, they're like, yeah, we've had enough. And they left. And I it sucks that they left because it would have been cool to stay there for all 4 days or whatever it was. But they didn't regret the decision at the time to take off.
I'm with them.
My dad did the exact same thing. He said he hopped a fence and he left. He was like, this sucks. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Well, there's
by the way, do you know the number of attendees and the people who claim that they were actually at Woodstock is like in the millions as opposed to the 400,000 that were there? But your dad was there as well, Kathy?
Yeah, like this is not something my dad would have ever attended or
his
even
friends
today.
Talked him into going or
yep,
something?
And okay. He was like, this isn't for me, I'm leaving.
Wow.
At a certain point, and if you watch the Academy Award winning Woodstock documentary that has all that great iconic footage that we're familiar with, where the organizer of the event says, it's now a free concert.
Yeah.
Because there was just no way you could contain the, you know, they had fences up, but they were trampled down.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, this weather has been wreaking havoc with outdoor events, and you just never know when it's going to be popping up. I mean, it can look like a beautiful day, and then we get, it's been a sucky summer.
It has been.
It really has been, especially the past month and a half or so, and hopefully we're going to get it back in maybe a little extended summer and a little nicer weather. We'll see. We'll find out about that. We have an indoor event that is happening, and it is on Thursday, and it's Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2 and the Zeta Eta Pi sorority party that's going to be taking place at Harrah's, Philadelphia. We will be there Thursday night, and it is from 6 until 8. I can take callers 10 and 11. And I will get you into the event, and we will give you each your own bitch box, as well as your guest, ladies only, 215-263-WMMR.
And by the way, it's taking place inside the block, which is in Harrah's.
You have to be at least 21 years of age. We'll give you your first drink and a happy hour buffet as well. So let's get you on board. Call now, callers 10 and 11. And don't forget to sign up now at Harrah's Philadelphia in their total rewards card and receive over $250 in offers.
Wow.
Take Exit 8 on I-95 Harrah's Philadelphia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Our number, 215. 215- 800-585-2263, WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is Stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a four-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's Stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Let him.
Let him.
I'm going to do a couple of shout-outs real quick, some emails I got. This one is from Matt Faber. Says, hey, Preston, I'd like to give a big shout-out to my incredible wife, Megan. 4 years ago on August 16th, I did one of the hardest things in my life besides beat cancer. I biked up Mount Washington to do the easiest thing, propose to my now wife. Huh. August 22nd will be our third wedding anniversary. Megan and I moved from Philly a year ago to Connecticut for new jobs. We miss Philly in many ways, but love our new jobs in Hartford and Springfield, Massachusetts. Megan will be 38 weeks pregnant, by the way, with our first child. Being loyal podcasters we are, we plan on listening to the show when Megan is in labor to help pass the time. Our baby boy is due date is August 31st. So they are right on the edge of that. And I said, whenever you get a chance to read this, a shout out would be great. And this, though, that is from Matt. So here's a shout out for you and Megan, my friend. And then this one is from Brooke Davis, a member of the Environmental Advisory Council of East Bradford Township. One of our major issues is the spotted lantern fly that you mentioned last week. And so she sent me some information about it. And
shout out to the flies?
Well, no, and then she said, can you give me a birthday shout out on Monday show? It would make having to go to work that much on my birthday a lot easier. Gadzooks. So, Brooke Davis, here you go. A shout out for you. Just wanted to pass those along. Oh, and real quick, I did not know this, but Nick has made me aware that today is National Radio Day.
Yeah!
Apparently. Woo! And they are urging people to post your radio selfie at hashtag National Radio Day today. So it
what
says,
does that mean?
It says take a picture of your radio and,
oh,
and tag hashtag your station. Add what you do there. Oh, it wants people that who work in radio to do it.
Oh, well, we can do that. We work in radio.
I got you.
But I think it does extend to people who are enjoying listening to the radio as well.
Include hashtag National Radio Day and then share. They're asking you to do that.
And we've talked lately about how people are listening differently now and listening via the apps and also listening in their bedrooms with, like, Alexa and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Quite. What was sort of on the way out is now back in full vigor.
And yeah,
because it's easy to just, you know, throw it on the old, as I said before, the radio on top of the refrigerator has been placed by the Echo or the Google Home.
Yeah,
or,
it's making its way back in, which is pretty cool. I love radio.
So do I.
I always loved radio.
When you think about throughout, Preston, the hours and hours and hours I would spend literally like in the room pleasuring myself. No, just the moments in history that I learned through the radio that I, and I would spend, there was something,
I don't know. There's nothing like it. And I know it seems weird to say that, and where we're bombarded with, you know, VR and all this stuff and all these different things and ways to consume entertainment. But there's something very pure, because radio goes along with you as a companion while you're doing things. You know, it's and that's what I love about it.
I didn't realize how much the theater of the mind is an appeal to me when I was, and I look back on my childhood and I see it then, because when I was a kid, we did a lot of driving trips because I had grandparents that lived in other states. So we would drive long hours, 8, 10 hours, 12
right,
hours,
right,
whatever
right.
it was. And through the course of that driving, especially at night, you know, as you went in and out of areas, you had to find something, a new station to listen to, because you'd get in and out of signal areas.
Oh, yeah.
And we would always come across like radio theater
yes.
at night. And some of them were scary and yes. freaky stories. And I was just absolutely, I was just transfixed by the sound effects and the scary music that was used, and the stories that were told. And some of them were, they were beyond my understanding as a little kid. You know, there was some serious stuff like that. And I loved it. And then I realized even later on, and I think part of the reason why I'm an on-air personality is if I go back to my teenage years and I remember talking on the phone, like with a girl or something like
yeah.
that, on the phone was very easy to me. In person was not so easy to me.
One step yeah. removed gave you a little bit more confidence.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's part of this.
I agree.
That why I do this, why I speak into a microphone, and I love it so much, and I feel more confident when I'm sitting in
Those
the seat.
Those are the best tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life.
You could hear it from day one.
There
right?
you go.
No, but I feel much more confident
yeah.
when I have the microphone.
You mentioned theater on the radio, and last summer I had do you remember the story, Monkey's Paw?
Monkey's yeah, Paw. Oh, it's sure. a classic.
Yeah, yeah. classic yeah. story. Yeah. I was telling my kids about it, and then I'm like, you know what, hang on a second. And I pulled up the audio of somebody telling that story on YouTube. And yeah. I
Charles Nelson Reilly.
No. It's not. It was somebody.
I heard a knocking on the door.
Scratchy monkey paw.
Yeah.
No.
No.
By the way, it's a horror story that's been told in various versions for sure. decades.
Yeah. And we were down at the beach, and we were, you know, driving to this other town to get some ice cream, and I turned it on, and then my kids were like totally dialed in on that. Like okay. they really, really
well,
loved it.
I remember mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I remember a radio theater production of the Monkey Paw story.
It's a scary story,
it's
man.
Freaking, are you kidding me? At the end when the knocking's on and she's screaming, uh-huh. Don't answer the door.
Don't answer the door. Yeah.
Oh my God, uh-huh. It was terrifying.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. yeah. it's the monkeys whose paw was taken.
Uh-huh.
Well, no,
I'm not gonna give it away, but it's a talisman. Think Pet Cemetery, and you'll know where we're
totally,
going.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, with radio, I had gone to school for television and film production. I loved, you know, I'm a big cinephile and love all that. And I enjoyed radio a lot. But when I started to, I actually had gone to do some commercials with at a radio station where I was going to be doing a comedy club that was local. And the guy who was working there in production doing the commercials was a friend of mine from college. And so he said, can you help me do some comedy bits for the morning show here? And I lived in the area. I said, sure. And that theater of the mind, the fact that I could do anything yeah. sound-wise. Mm-hmm. And this was old tech. This is reel-to-reel, two-track to two-track, where you basically had to build tracks by just bouncing back and forth between machines.
Yeah.
But I could control everything. There was literally the way CGI makes nothing. There's nothing you can't do right now mm-hmm. in audio. That's been around forever. Mm-hmm. You can be anywhere and do anything.
You're my right. dad loves radio, Steve, and so he instilled it in me. And we would drive around, me and my dad, and certainly as a family, we'd listen to Prairie Home Companion, you know, even back in like in the 80s and 90s.
It's great, and that's a hearkening back to old style, you know,
it
radio.
Is, yeah. yeah. And I, you know, listening to like people like Gene Hart growing up, or even Pierre Robert or John yeah. DeBella, you know, and being able to work at a radio station where those guys worked. And I have a very vivid memory of 7th or 8th grade. I was driving to school, and DeBella played the entire William Tell Overture, the theme to the Lone Ranger. And my dad and I were laughing and singing along. And it was just, it was an intimate moment with radio as our providing the entertainment. You know,
yeah.
I'll never forget that for the rest of my life.
It's why we always say that for people when they want to talk about how you perform on radio and how you are on radio, and we've been giving a lot of interviews, Preston, on the 20th anniversary of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's you up about 10-15% because you got to realize that and there's different dynamics for podcasts and things of that nature, but in morning radio, people are doing other things. They're getting ready. And so you have to be a little bit bigger.
It's got to stand out.
Got to stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? But I love all those different dynamics.
Yeah. It's such a fun business and medium. And I know that television kind of gets the leg up on it. But radio is so much more fun.
Yeah.
It is so much more fun, I think. But that doesn't mean that that's a wasted life if you're doing video as well. Obviously, films are an amazing thing, too. But radio is just a blast.
You know what's encouraging to me is that we still have interns coming in who are young or in college. Yeah. Who want to be a part of radio, you know? And so you never quite know where the industry is going to go or what versions are going to come out next. But the fact that there's, you know, a college intern sitting right behind Casey who's sitting in the studio right now because he loves radio too, to me that's it portends well for the future.
And his name is Hanjabi.
Yeah. That's true too.
Robbie Hanjabi. That's right.
He wants to do a podcast where he interviews people and then it's called like Punch in the Face. And at the end of the show, people have to vote whether or not that guest gets punched in the face or not.
Okay.
Literally?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Try it.
I said, but it's a podcast, so people aren't listening live.
That's a true. Yes. That's a good point, Casey.
Baby steps.
Listen.
At the end of the month,
haven't worked out.
Everyone's voting.
Yeah, come back.
And listen, we'll bring that person back in to see if they get punched in the face.
They probably
or not.
Won't show up.
Mm-hmm. So it's National Radio Day. Enjoy. Go listen to the Monkey Paw.
Yeah.
If you will. Or you could just have a show come and broadcast live from your backyard. I'm talking about Jackson's Backyard Broadcast.
Yes.
The entry deadline is a week from today. You have to be at least 21, and you could see it all happen at your home. See how much fun radio is. Click on contest at WMMR.com for the details and to get registered. And we're going to bring Hatfield Meats to the grill and beer and music and fun and games, all that stuff. You have to be at least 21. Did I say that already?
No, you did not.
All right, anyhow. And that's from Hatfield Meats, simply Paws Hatfield.
Monkey Paws.
It says Paws here.
Paws. Did it really?
Look.
Pause.
See, radio. Yeah. If I wouldn't have said pause, you would have never known and just thought I was being dramatic.
Wow. Yes.
Theater of the mind.
All right, do it without saying pause.
All right. From Hatfield Meats. Hatfield Meats.
Do it again.
Finest baseball name.
Let's have a catch.
From Hatfield Meats. Simply Hatfield.
That was good.
See?
Yeah.
Theater
yeah.
of the mind, man.
Hatfield Meats.
Simply
Hatfield. You want to play a couple of pieces of audio here?
Yes.
Yes.
we had mentioned that Aretha Franklin, the funeral arrangements have been made. I'll get to those details coming up in music news. But Stevie Wonder spoke about visiting with her just before she died.
They were now we had heard, and this shows you how the you know you got to let the news breathe a little bit. I had heard that when he had went to talk to spend some time with Aretha as she was, you know, checking out, that she was able to speak with him. This apparently was not the case. He was speaking and she was just there in the room, but he did say things to her. So he recounts and he gets emotional about his last time with Aretha Franklin.
All right.
We talked about doing some music as recent as maybe 2 months ago. We've been talking about it. And so...
You get upset?
Yeah.
I thought I cried my last tear, you know, because I did want to see her, so I decided on Monday I would go. So I flew out from L.A. to Detroit and went to see her and spoke with her. She wasn't able to speak back, but her family felt that she could hear me, and so I just said all the things that I've always said and told her to say hello to my sister that I lost this year as well.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Very close. Obviously, he's a legend, but his adoration of her as a legend is clear.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very,
That's
very...
hard to listen to.
Yeah.
All right, this one is hard to listen to for a different reason. I've not heard this yet.
So this is Al Sharpton on his MSNBC show.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're...
At the time of the death of Aretha Franklin, if there's one word you should know how to spell, it's respect.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Give a listen.
All right.
Okay. Sometime the dog bites back with a book deal. And while we're talking about female canines, you know what they say about payback? It's a real, well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Oh,
oh no.
No. Oh,
respect.
No.
Respect.
It doesn't even sound like an I in the song.
I mean, even if you don't know how to spell, even if you're completely
seriously
illiterate, if you just
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you just sing it.
That's all you have to do. You can be a complete illiterate and still know.
Oh, no. One more time.
Of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. And the next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused,
respect her.
Remember this. I got you.
Oh, my God.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Wow.
That's funny.
Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
The rest of it works.
Yeah.
It could still, you know. You could...
Oh, my God. Show a little respect,
please. Some respect.
He still has a show, huh?
He does. One of my favorites, I still quote it all the time, is when he talked himself into a loop, and he figured that verbally he could extricate himself.
And the word respect was used in that.
Exactly.
Respect we must.
Yeah.
No, that's respect. Resist.
Oh, resist. Yeah,
right, I'm sorry. They start off the same.
But resist we must. We must. They're all jitty about a shutdown.
Oh, these are a bunch of them.
Oh, my.
This isn't just that. Okay. We're all jitty.
Tortoise in the race. Then co-author of Hubris. You two, lead singer Bono. Fran Drescher. Sigourney Weaver. Suspect.
Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney.
Sigourney.
Okay. Yeah.
Sigourney. Dear God.
Oh, yes. Never mind. He needs a show all the time.
Yeah, that's why he still has a show.
Yes.
Jahar Sanayev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh. The show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Rush Court Limbaugh. Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday? Antonine Scalia. Kim Kardashian and the Republican candidate.
Kardashian.
We should do this with Bill.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, does he get a lot
we
of
we should have
wrong.
Him read. Yeah.
He's really bad with pop culture references.
But it's usually off the top of his head. It's not when he's reading.
If he were to read, he'd be able to read these off a prompter and know who they were.
Both Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First up.
Latvia.
We rank behind Latvia.
Belvita breakfast biscuits.
Yes.
Kazakhstan to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chipotle.
Well, so we're laughing, but we've all had.
We have. And, you know,
the thing is, as I said, it's not like it's headline news that he's doing. Record it and then play it back. You could stop how it makes it to air, all of these, how R-E-S-P-I-C-T makes it to air.
Seriously. Yeah.
You know his history. Just record it and then play it the next half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Al, you know, it's respect.
Yep.
Not respect.
Respect.
Wow. What a tribute.
That's funny. Hey, I saw this nice story. This happened last week, but we didn't get a chance to get to. But did you guys see this? Is a cancer patient teacher, a guy named Robert Goodman, went through all of his paid sick days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was undergoing surgery, chemotherapy, had colon cancer. And he figured that he needed about 20 more sick days to deal with more chemotherapy, but he didn't have it. So in July, he was a teacher at Tomsich Health and Medical, or not a teacher there, he was at the hospital.
Right.
At the medical center. He took a selfie, posted it on Facebook, and asked for help. And within 4 days, he had enough sick days to cover an entire semester.
So the other people donated their sick days?
They donated their sick days.
Yeah, I actually know somebody who had that done for them. They had to be out of work for a really long time, and they were out of their, whatever it is, their sick and family leave. And the school, the teachers at the school were able to donate their sick days that they didn't use to this guy.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So they transferred 75 sick days to him so he can get that done. I love it when stuff like that.
Yes.
There was, and I won't say because I don't want to tip a hat as to who this person might be, but I met this person that was dealing with a life-threatening illness, a firefighter, and he couldn't work anymore because of the way this illness treats your body. And so, but he was too young to continue to receive benefits. So all of his coworkers took up all his hours.
Wow.
And like the official paying body doesn't, maybe they don't know or they're letting it happen. He doesn't work anymore. He can't work anymore. But these guys work all his hours for him.
And so they're going to get him to his benefits.
Wow. So he can continue to get his benefits. That was amazing.
Wow.
And it's in, it's a Philadelphia fire company. So I thought it was a pretty incredible when people step up and do stuff like that.
They get all my respect.
All your respect.
Total respect.
That you can muster.
Exactly. Well, you know, there are like...
Mad respect.
Yes. Like, you talk about heroes.
Yeah.
Like Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney.
Hey, she saved everybody on that spaceship.
Yeah, she did,
so
yes.
She's a hero.
In Aliens.
Oh. Respect.
Much respect. I'm trying to get back some older news that's still fairly relevant and before it gets past us. What?
I was just, we landed on the moon!
Right. That's pretty old news. Yeah. No, this was last week in Philadelphia. Did you guys see this nickel that sold for $4.56 million?
It's astonishing.
This convention was a big deal. Like for coin collectors,
it was a big deal.
Yeah, a lot of respect for them. And they, but it's like a worldwide thing. And obviously, the funds raised for some of these rare coins was astronomically high.
It was is this one of the largest?
Yeah.
Of these, is this the largest?
I don't know if it's the largest, but it was highlighted on one of my favorite programs, CBS Sunday Morning,
right.
The week before, and they were talking about
nickel.
The nickel.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of currency, a common nickel. One would scarcely assume it could generate the kind of money that was generated this weekend.
Thank you.
So as you're drinking your Ovaltine, sitting there in your robe with your genitals exposed, think about that.
That's spot on.
There you
go. The Stax Bowers Galleries offered the Elizeburg 1913 Liberty Head nickel for auction during the American Numismatic Association's World's Fair of Money. What?
It is the
numismatic.
Those are coin collectors.
Oh, yes. That's what they. I did not know that. Newsman monasticists.
It sounds like sounds like Al Sharpton saying nemesis.
Numismatic Association World's Fair of Money. Which that, did it take place here in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah, in Philly. Yeah.
Took place in Philadelphia.
The new owner.
Cradle of the nation.
Of the Elizeburg nickel now possesses one of the rarest, most valuable United States coins and one of only three examples of this coveted coin in private hands. The coin is named for financier Louis E. Elizeburg, who bought the coin in 1948 and amassed one of the greatest coin collections in U.S. history. This special nickel is one of only five ever produced at the Third Philadelphia Mint. No one really knows the circumstances of their production, according to a specialist. This is the best of the five, and the five Liberty Head nickels were produced just before the U.S. Mint started producing nickels with a buffalo head design. And of the remaining four, two are off the market. One was donated to the Smithsonian in the 70s. One was donated to the American Numismatic Association in the 1980s. And there remain two other ones in private hands.
So you think 1913, you know, it's not that old, but it's because of the, it's one of five, correct?
Are these one of five ever made? Why?
Often with things like this, they're printed and then they're either put into circulation briefly and then returned or recalled. Or never make it to circulation, which is why, and then the rest of them are destroyed.
And okay. Sometimes they're mistakes.
Exactly, and so rare coins like this in mint condition they're incredibly rare, hence the value.
Well, you see on this coin on the periphery of it, Preston, on the circumference, it says respect.
Respect. Oh. Damn, we spelled R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
But it's like the Honus Wagner baseball cards or the Mickey Mantle baseball cards. Like those were so, especially the Honus Wagner, because he didn't believe in chewing tobacco. So like when they all get sent out, they were recalled or they were destroyed at his behest.
Okay.
And that's why that whatever year that is, I think it's a 1910. And he was a great player on top of it. He's a Hall of Famer.
We used to collect wheat pennies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Whenever you'd find them, we had a special jar all go into. Wheat pennies.
Not familiar.
On the tail side, there are two, what would you call those, wheat?
Bushels or something like that,
sheaths,
yeah.
Sheaths or whatever of
foreskins.
Instead of the Lincoln Memorial in the background.
Okay.
So they had these pieces of wheat. I don't know if you can look up wheat penny and find a picture of it, but we used to collect them. Yeah, those are wheat penny.
There you go.
Yeah. And
what'd you do with those?
That doesn't look, no, that's a 2 cent piece. That's not a wheat penny.
Come on, man.
Come on. Over here. But we never did. I don't know what we ever did with them. I mean, it turns out the majority of them are worth. Yeah, that's it. That's what we.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You've seen those before.
Yep.
But apparently, rare coins are big business. Earlier this year, a small $5 gold coin produced by the San Francisco Mint during the height of the California Gold Rush was estimated to be worth millions of dollars.
Collected pine cones for a hot minute. Both did those you?
Yeah. How those doing?
Yeah. I don't even know.
Probably the largest pine cone collection ever attributed to one individual. Casey Foster, he goes by. People in Delco say he's a witty fellow. Always there with a pleasant smile and a handshake.
We used to paint
former member of the Running Away Club and the Jumpers Club.
Founding member.
You were the founding member?
One of the founding members. Okay. You know, just thinking back of me collecting all those pine cones and my neighbors, like... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Have as many as you
Cleaning
want.
Clean up their yard.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing one might associate with an imbecile.
Right. You want to start a leaf collection? Or
Kath, what were you going to say?
We used to paint them.
Pine cones?
We would collect them and paint them. I think we would do leaves as well.
Okay. You'd paint leaves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then make a collage out of them?
My parents were like, go ahead, go pick them up out in the yard. You can paint them. I think it was just like, we thought it was fun.
Nice. Okay. Well, maybe one of them is worth $4.56 million.
Sure, yeah.
I have a coin collection that I inherited from my grandfather, my dad's dad, and they've been sitting, and I know exactly where they are. I should bring them in because I have
Get
no
them
idea
praised.
If any of them have any worth whatsoever.
Sure.
But there's like some, probably not, but he died in 1983. So
he might have been a little bit more assiduous with his collecting than you were with your Daryl Strawberry.
I have that too.
We have a jelly jar collection.
We have mason jars that were farted in.
Do you remember though? You would get jelly like
we used to.
When you were done with it, it was a glass.
Drinking glasses.
Yeah, and they had the Warner Brothers cartoons characters
as a kid,
Disney and stuff on them. I loved them.
Virtually every glass we drank out of was a former jelly jar that had like a. A Mickey Mouse or something on it.
I think I'm going to put those back in circulation. Mm. They're in a box down in the basement.
We should
put those out and let the kids use them now. Me too.
It was a simple gesture. A little bit of nostalgia. That sent Preston into his basement to retrieve his jelly jar glasses.
You know what? I will do that because I've started a tumbler collection with my bourbon vault. And maybe jelly jars would be something. Maybe that'll be the next big hipster thing that will happen. Now they do beer in cans.
Ah.
How about cocktails and
jelly jars?
I'll start that. That's what I'll begin. Charles Carroll will write about it.
It's a brilliant move for this budding alcoholic. Taking the jelly jars of yore and turning them into vessels of the demon rum.
This budding alcoholic.
He's aspiring to become one. He died in 1997, Carolt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe he's been gone that
Who long. Who does Sunday morning now?
Jane Pauley.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does a really good job with it.
It was a good Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Belt firmly around my neck.
Oh, jeez.
In the closet. Pleasuring myself.
Oh, my
bringing
God.
Myself to the point of ecstasy. But things, as they often do, went awry.
Yeah. I wonder if he did die on a Sunday.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been perfect.
It was Casey's birthday, 1997.
Do you remember the story where Charles, I believe it was Charles Carroll, had an entire second family?
What?
Nick, do a little research on that.
Seriously?
I believe that was the case.
He had a secret second family?
I think that was the case.
Oh, I need to know about that.
Steve's right. He had a second shadow family. I know that he'd had an affair his whole life. So there was a shadow family, and he lived in New York City with one, and they lived in Montana, the second
Dude.
Family.
Maybe the belt around the neck thing is true, Steve. You know, if you're going to hide an entire family, wow. Had no idea.
But, you know, I always loved his delivery, though. Oh, always wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
He was very relaxed.
Yes, he was in several things. We need to take a break. Is there something I can give away, Casey?
Oh, sure. You know what, Preston? Can I do something?
You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to give you... So, we couldn't do this this past Friday because we had a meet and eat. We have all... All right. I'm going to do something out of turn here.
Please tell me what it is because people are calling already without even knowing what they're going to win. I like to get to it immediately.
Oh, you know what? Let's just do this while I...
All right. Mile 22. Yeah.
It's a cord of polyester.
Passes to see the new action thriller with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh. And
it says passes are good Monday through Thursday at any Regal Cinemas theater in Philadelphia, in the area, in the Philadelphia market. Mile 22 is in theaters nationwide now. So we'll take two callers, and we'll give those to you. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. I got some more great Bizarre File stories, and I will have them prepared and hot out of the oven, ready to go when we return. Stay with us.
This summer. Surprise! The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
By all accounts, and this is my personal opinion, Mick Jagger should not be a great singer. But he is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's a he's more a vocal stylist.
Yeah. He has clearly his own style.
Yes.
But I mean, if you know the way he pronounces things, stuff like that. And it's not like he has this gorgeous tone that's just spot on and wonderful, beautiful vibrato or anything like that. But he's a great singer.
That's rock for you.
You don't have to have a great voice.
Yep.
To be a great singer per se. There are great vocalists, but some people just own it with their own thing, and he's one of the kings of that. I see Bill Weston hovering did you want to jump in on the conversation or something?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I just saw him. It looked like he may have wanted to jump in. I was saying that that Mick Jagger, because Robin Lee had said that song came out in 1965 on this date. That Mick Jagger, by all accounts, should not be a great singer, but he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's still a great showman.
Too. Yes.
Oh, he's an amazing showman, no question. And, yeah. But the sound of his voice, when you hear it, it's catchy and you sing along and everything, but he's not a great... He doesn't have a beautiful voice, you know what I mean?
No, I agree. He sings Rolling Stone songs better than anyone else, and but he's a stylist.
Better than Keith.
Better than Keith. Right. I like some of Keith's stuff, too. Yeah.
All right, Bill Weston, man.
Yay! You don't see Bill a lot.
He's a little contributor in that particular part.
He's on the third floor. We don't see him a lot.
Yeah. All right, let's do, what are you babbling about?
Nothing.
Okay. He said he was listening to DeBella.
Favorite morning show.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File. Now,
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin'. Excludes cold brew plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Well, Dennis Furtado, also known as Dr. Bum Bum.
The guy who does the injections, right?
Yeah, well, he's being charged with murder in the death of a patient. Furtado became famous, particularly on Instagram, for his Brazilian butt lift procedure.
Dr. Furtado!
Furtado is being charged for the death of 46-year-old Lillian Calixto. Furtado was giving Calixto butt-enhancing injections at his home when she fell ill. He took her to the hospital, but when Calixto died, he disappeared. So Dr. Bum Bum is gone.
So this Dr. Bum Bum, what he would do is he'd take these Brazilian models and he would inject their butts to make them extra bulbous.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're telling me that he killed one of these girls and he's nowhere to be found.
That's what they're saying.
He's persona non grata.
According to Brazilian...
He's incommunicata.
Brazilian...
Nelly Furtado.
He's Nelly Furtado. By the way, a very talented girl.
According
she once did a song that was produced by Timbaland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really?
According to Brazilian courts, Dr. Bum Bum was not licensed as a doctor.
I would not go to any doctor named Dr. Bum Bum.
And the procedures that he was performing out of his apartment were not approved by the president of the Brazilian Plastic Surgery Society.
He shared an office with the urologist, Dr. Weenie.
Dr. Weenie?
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Bum Bum.
Dr. Bum Bum, Dr. Weenie. Weenie Bum Bum.
Weenie Bum Bum.
The BBC reported that the public prosecutor's office in Brazil stated that Furtado had attracted women with the false promise of quick and immediate beauty. After his arrest, Furtado claimed that he had performed over 9,000 enhancement procedures and that Calixto's death was, quote, a fatal accident. Really?
Well, you think?
Yeah. A drunk man dressed as Tinkerbell got kicked off a Rainier flight after allegedly threatening other passengers. Cops were called to assist flight attendants after he is said to become disruptive. The airport had to delay the flight, and it is understood that a groom and best man were among those who were removed from the plane. One man was dressed as Tinkerbell. He's pictured standing beside officers on the runway, having been offloaded from the aircraft. Passenger Dan May witnessed the event. He said our flight to Krakow hasn't taken off yet because of a man dressed as Tinkerbell and has threatened to cut everyone up.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of him. This is a real deal Tinkerbell costume that this guy's in.
He added, armed police have shown up. One officer has adjusted the man's wings. Another passenger who wished to remain anonymous said the man appeared to be drunk and was given several chances to behave by cabin crew. They said he was just a little bit drunk just before leaving. The best man decided that it's best to take him off. He had been given another chance by the cabin crew, but the group thought best that if he went for another plane. Ryanair stated that they do not condone the behavior, calling for alcohol limits to be imposed before flying. The man and his friend had to schedule a later flight. Well, the moon over Virginia was half visible on a May evening, as was the one on the softball field. The Roanoke Times reports 57-year-old Debbie L. McCulley is accused of mooning the stands at the softball game. But a judge Thursday said the indecent exposure charge could be dropped. McCulley's husband coaches Glenvar High School junior varsity softball. A sheriff's deputy report says McCulley took to the field after a loss to Floyd County High School and mooned the people in the stands. Now, the report said that she stood on or close to the pitcher's mound and pulled down her pants with her right hand to expose her butt cheeks.
And she's a mom?
It's according to the sheriff. Yeah, her husband is the coach. There were reportedly children in the stands. McCulley said she thought her husband, quote, was going to be attacked. So she was trying to get the attention off of him.
So self-defense.
Yeah. She's written an apology and performed community service. McCulley will likely have the charges dismissed or received a suspended sentence at a February administrative hearing. A 71-year-old bingo caller was arrested for fixing multiple games following an investigation by the State Gaming Commission.
Oh, my God.
They are not messing around.
No.
The caller, Neil Simon Gross, was arrested by Yorktown police after the Gaming Commission received a complaint about games being fixed at the Yorktown Jewish Center.
You know, the seniors can get really pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know how to make three ladies scream the F word, have one lady scream bingo. The commission zeroed in on Gross after receiving a complaint from a bingo player and conducting an investigation into the center's weekly games. The arrest report says that Gross violated the rules of casino gambling by allegedly changing the outcomes of multiple bingo games.
Ooh, yeah. That's a bingo.
Gross. Who turned himself into police, was charged with gaming fraud and released on his own recognizance, by the way. This is interesting. In Arizona, a baby boom is brewing at a suburban hospital where 16 intensive care nurses recently discovered they are all pregnant.
16 intensive care nurses, yes. All are pregnant at the same time.
At the same hospital.
Just it's happenstance, or is there a horny doctor there?
The nurses at Banner Desert Medical Center in Mesa joked Friday they thought that there was something in the water when it became clear that they were all expecting babies between October and January.
Jeez. Dear God.
Yeah. Nurse Rochelle Sherman, nearly 8 months along, said, I don't think we realized just how many of us were pregnant until we started a Facebook group. Nurse Jolene Garrow joked, "We all formulated this plan to have the holidays off." Garrow said that as their pregnancies have progressed, the patients have begun noticing that most of the nurses around them are expecting. One patient insisted on touching her belly the night before, she said, hoping that it would give her luck. Hospital officials noted that the Banner Medical Center chain has a pool of floating nurses, and that should ensure that shifts are covered when their ICU nursing specialists begin taking their 12-week maternity leave starting the fall. So everybody, all 16 of these nurses could be off in and around the same
time. Wow. That is wild.
Yeah, so they've all managed to get pregnant around the same time frame. Pretty interesting. And there you go. That is what I have in this morning's bizarre file. We're going to take a break. A reminder, tonight there's an event going on, Dining Out for the Dogs. We, the President and Steve Show members, are going to be at different locations of the White Dog Cafe. Nick and I are going to be at the Wayne location. I think I'm going to get there starting around 5 o'clock, hang out for an hour or two. Nick is going to be there around 6 o'clock, hang out for a bit. And then in Haverford, Casey and Steve are going to be there. And the location in Philly, who's going to be at that
Marissa.
One? Marissa. Marissa will be there. Yes. So if you want to come out and say hello, raising funds for Alpha Bravo Canine, and all you have to do is eat. That's all
just
you got to do.
Eat.
Eat or drink.
Yes.
Or do both. And auction items and more. So that is tonight. Make sure you join us. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
Monday and all that is here for you, friends. We have halfway decent weather today. Some afternoon sun we're expecting, and our high temperature not even getting into the 80s. It was comfortably cool as I stepped out
into
the driveway this morning. Yeah, it's a nice little change. 81 tomorrow, and then afternoon thunderstorms with scattered showers on Wednesday, high 84, and then sun after that. We'll see if that holds up or not. Today's lesson question prize, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook. He's coming to town Friday, September 7th. He'll be playing the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, or at least he'll be in Atlantic City. Question that I have for you this morning. What did the roadie burn himself on at the Metallica show? We had a caller talking about going to a Metallica show, and a roadie had gotten burned, and the way they positioned it at the show is what I'm talking about. What did the roadie burn himself on at the Metallica show? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening, you just might know, and you should call in because you might win. Let's do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
It's brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new, lower auto rates, they can help you save, so call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, 2 Chainz married longtime girlfriend Kesha Ward on Saturday at the Versace Mansion in Miami. Despite rumors to the contrary, the couple did not sign a prenup agreement, meaning that if they do split, she gets one of the chains.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
The president of ESPN saying the network will not air the national anthem during the 2018 season of Monday Night Football. The network made the decision in order to avoid any controversy and will instead air closed-circuit live feeds of abortions.
Oh, my God.
What? And finally, porn star Stormy Daniels, who claims to have had an affair with President Trump, has left the cast of England's Celebrity Big Brother, claiming they wanted her to stick to a script. Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, issued a statement saying the only time Daniels ever stuck to a script is when it was covered in splooge.
Oh, dude.
That's your Hollywood troll.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's see if you know the answer to this. What did the roadie burn himself on in the Metallica concert? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to Clinton for the answer. Clinton, you're on the air. Good morning.
I love you.
All right, Cliff, do me a favor. Tell me what the roadie burned himself on in the Metallica show.
Pepperoni Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket. You got it, buddy. Hang on. For Clinton, we're going to give him some tickets to see Dane Cook, who's going to be playing Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Tickets are on sale now, and you can get them at Ticketmaster.com. We've got music news all teed up and ready to go for you.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Velociraptor. All right, and this morning, it's brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys. Shave your heads in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. I'm sorry.
I had
a moment like that over the weekend. My buddy Will and I and our wives went out to dinner, and two times in a row we said things at the exact same time like that. And we immediately went into Velociraptor. And
Velociraptor.
And he goes,
John Stamos.
Good housekeeping.
Yeah. What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Is perfect. All right, I'm going to get into a little bit of music news, and this is disturbing stuff to start with. Korn singer Jonathan Davis's estranged wife, Devin Davis, died on Friday at the age of 39. The cause of death was not immediately made public, but
it's a weird story.
It is. She is a former girl-on-girl porn star. Devin married Jonathan in 2004 and had two sons with him, Pirate and Zeppelin. Jonathan also has a son from previous marriage, Nathan, who will turn 23 this fall. The vocalist filed for divorce from her in October of 2016, citing irreconcilable differences. Now, Jonathan filed for a domestic violence restraining order this past Friday.
Yeah.
With the judge issuing a temporary order blocking any child custody or visitation from this girl, Devin. The restraining order also prohibited her from having contact with the family dog as well.
Huh.
In his court declaration, Jonathan alleged Devin was deeply involved with drugs, which she had struggled with for more than 20 years, and that her drug use was causing emotional harm to the kids through neglect. According to the singer, Devin had been in rehab six times and, quote, is constantly under the influence of nitrous oxide, cocaine, and Norco, which I'm not familiar with Norco. He said that he found both Devin and her drug dealer boyfriend passed out in their house when he brought the children to visit her and had found a heroin pipe and cocaine in the toilet bowl. So, domestic violence restraining order on Friday, and she's dead by Sunday. Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
According to the documents, Devin had been in a sober home but went missing last Friday and hadn't been seen for a week. Sources said that she had not been aware of the restraining order before her death. So, wow, that's terrible all the way around.
Yeah. It can take a long time to get through all that.
Yep. Alice in Chains will perform tomorrow atop the iconic Space Needle in Seattle to commemorate this week's release of the band's sixth studio album, Rainier Fog. The quartet will be the first band ever to perform on the Space Needle's brand new Loop, which is the world's first and only revolving glass floor located 500 feet in the air. Part of the Space Needle's recent $100 million renovation, by the way.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
The Loop is powered by 12 motors and offers 360-degree views over the city. Anybody ever been up in that thing?
I have, yeah. Not since this thing was put in, but Pearl Jam was celebrating these Home and Away shows in Seattle a week or two ago, and they were doing some live video from it up there.
It's pretty amazing. I've been up there.
It's really cool. Well, the floor, it's like that walkway in the Grand Canyon. Just looking straight down. So they were pointing out landmarks underneath the Space Needle, and it's just like a glass floor. It's pretty impressive.
Okay. Jerry Cantrell said, I've visited the Space Needle many times in my life, and it's going to be a real honor and total trip for us to play there. We're so proud of the album, and to be able to celebrate its release with a performance at one of our town's most iconic landmarks is really special, he said.
They used to have a big problem with base jumping. And,
really?
Yeah, they had to up their security tremendously because people were getting up there. It was the thing to do, to base jump off the Space Needle.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson cut short his performance on Saturday night in the Woodlands, Texas, due to a reported case of food poisoning. Manson's tour manager escorted photographers. From the pit prior to the start of Manson's set, explaining that the singer was ill and did not want his picture taken. Manson played four songs and was reported to be visibly shaking at times before he collapsed on a monitor ending the show. Manson's tourmate Rob Zombie played his usual set, although their planned duet didn't materialize.
Sorry, I have to make a poo-poo.
Later last month, Manson canceled a show in Toronto minutes before showtime because he was suffering from, quote, the flu.
He is not having a good tour.
No, I wonder what all is going on.
Yeah.
Another child is on the way for Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Followill and wife Lily Aldridge. The model announced the news on Sunday with a photo of her small bump and the simple caption, surprise, followed by Aldridge. Followill and Aldridge are already parents to daughter Dixie, who is now 6 years old. They got married back in 2011. Jack White staged a private concert for Tesla and their workers on Friday at the electric car manufacturer's plant in Fremont, California, where he also test drove an upcoming model. He said in a statement, I am a huge fanatic and supporter of everything Tesla has been doing since day one. I'm proud to say that I was one of the first Model S owners in Nashville, which I think is the greatest automobile ever made. It's been a thought of mine for a few years now that I would love to do a free concert for the employees at the Fremont factory. I said, I believe that what Tesla is doing is so important for the future of how we look at car design itself, the added benefits of its help towards fixing climate change and taking the world away from the internal combustion engine are incredible. And I'm very excited to play for Tesla's employees who are doing so much more, so much good for the progression of technology and the world right now. And then finally, Papa Roach will lead the lineup of Shiprocked 2019, marking the Hard Rock Cruise's 10th anniversary on the high seas. Huh. Other acts confirmed for the trip include I Prevail, Bullet for My Valentine, Nothing More, Seven Dust, Motionless in White, 10 Years, Tremonti, Bad Flower, Atreyu, Suicidal Tendencies, Nonpoint, and Islander, as well as others. Papa Roach singer Jacoby Shaddix said, we are so excited to join the 10th anniversary cruise. It's our third time on the bill and our first time headlining. You can expect a few surprises and a real rock show on the open sea. Can't wait to see everyone taking part next year. The Carnival Valor cruise ship will set sail from Galveston, Texas for 5 days from January 26th through the 31st, stopping in Cozumel and the Yucatan in Mexico. Staterooms for Shiprocked 2019 are sold out, but a wait list is available at shiprocked.com.
Wow.
And there you go. That's what I have for you music news this morning, my friends. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll do the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Robin Lee is in for Pierre today. One more day off. And we'll see what she's got in store in more. Stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Day one of five in your work week. Checked off for our list, and it will be yours checked off as well not too far from now. But we're about ready to wrap up the program. I want to thank Mr. Frank Hudman for stopping by today. He brought his service dog, Lydia, in. And Frank is one of the first recipients of an Alpha Bravo canine service dog. And we're doing dining out for the dogs tonight, starting at 5 o'clock at all the White Dog Cafe locations in our region. And they're in Wayne and Haverford. And there's one in the city as well. 34th and Sansom is where that's located. Their food's great, man.
Oh, yeah. Really great stuff.
Yeah. And if you've never seen White Dog Cafe, I've only been to the one. I've only been to the Wayne location. But each room has a different kind of interesting, unique decor unto itself. And I'm not sure how the other locations are.
They're all different, but they all have one common theme, dogs all over the place. Mm-hmm. So pictures and everything is, you know, that the Haverford location's really cool. And it's... you know, it was a no-brainer. Where are you going to have this event? White Dog Cafe. So
that's tonight, and Nick and I are going to be at the Wayne location. Steve and Casey will be at the Haverford location, and Marissa will be at 34th and Sansom. And a fair amount of our fellow Beasley broadcasters will be there from MGK and from The Fanatic and from Ben FM as well. So stop out tonight and say hello, and all you have to do is eat, you know, and you can also bid on some items too. So it's going to be a fundraiser. So that is this evening. So that's our only thank you today. Robin Lee is here this morning. Hey! And for Pierre Robert, he takes one more day, I assume.
One more day.
Yeah.
That's how he does it.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It rained.
It did.
It sucked.
I know.
I need sun. We should go out today.
It's not what it should be. At least it's a tiny bit cooler, but we just haven't been. This summer sucked. No. We've said it time and time again. Yes. The past month and a half has just been garbage.
But people say, no. It has sucked. We know for a fact we've not had any substantial thread of sunny days.
Yep.
So that's it. Listen, we move on, but we have to call it what it is. Sucky summer.
Sucky summer 2018.
Yes.
But
great movie, by the way.
Robin's going to take over here in a moment and get you going. But first, we need to get the letter. Now, you do realize these go in order, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. I do. I've learned. Good. Make me blush right away.
It's okay. All right, let's do the letter of the day. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
S, as in super.
Okay, perfect. And we have a two-hour axe-throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe-throwing venue. It's Chopper's Hatchet House.
Get to the chopper!
In Cherry Hill. And you can visit choppershh.com for the information. So we will give that on Friday. So, not to tip your hand or anything like that, but, you know, it's Robert Plant's birthday today.
Yes, it is.
It's his 70th birthday today. I assume you're going to spend some time with that.
I am in the workforce block. So we're also doing Foo Fighters and the Talking Heads, too.
Okay.
Nice. Cool. Play some of the stuff that Robert Plant apparently doesn't like, which is the stuff right after the band broke up that we happen to be big fans of.
You mean all of the music?
Yeah. But I mean, like that stuff like Big Log and
Burning Down One Side. Yeah. And
I'm in the Mood.
Yeah. Mood is a great song. And so is Little by Little and Heaven Knows. There's a lot of really good songs.
I always play Heaven Knows.
That's okay. It's been ages since I've heard that song.
Okay, we'll play that one.
All right, cool, man. Robin Lee's going to take good care of you. So enjoy. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Wilmington University. Experience a Wilmington University difference at wilmu.edu. And by Fred Beans. The Fred Beans anniversary event is on. Shop today at fredbeans.com. On tomorrow's program, we're going to chat with Rob Riggle.
Hey! Oh, he's got a new show on Crackle.
And he's in Step Brothers.
Yes, he is.
I love it.
Face!
Yep.
In the face!
So Rob will be on the show. We'll have a Tattoozday taking place. And we will do more of the Kathy's Bitch Box invites tomorrow night, too. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I love the summer, but I also hate the summer, mostly because all the annoying creatures come out. Mosquitoes, crickets, New Jersey drivers, frogs, New York drivers, you know, all that shit.
Next message.
Oh, yes, this is Samantha. You know, I'm really excited about the Bitch Box. That's going to be great. It's like double of the bitch from Cafe and, you know, the same box. Bye, Samantha.
Next message.
Let's go over this again, you inconsiderate dog walkers. Do not leave your f***ing nasty tied up bags of dog s*** in my empty trash can on trash day. It's wrong. Don't do it. Take your s*** home with you.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.